Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
You know when he's Mr. Tough Guy when he's standing behind a microphone?
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
Kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it. Come on. God damn it. Put you one time. Kick it. What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Gang, good afternoon. Hi there. How are you? Are you properly distanced from loved ones and family? Congratulations. Hey, I'm Alan Cox. Thank you for showing up. Greetings. Make sure all my buttons are pushed properly. Say hello to Bill Squire, who is precisely 6 feet away from me.
Exactly.
We measured.
Yes, we did.
Creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of The Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys virtually.
Bill and I are blessed to each be endowed with 3-foot penises. And so we just touched tips, and that's how we knew.
Gross.
That.
You got a yardstick down there?
We keep a small piece of paper in between them so we don't actually make physical contact.
Smart.
Except when he wasn't looking, I pulled the piece of paper.
I knew it was.
He knew the whole time.
He felt
very
it.
Sensitive.
Come on, I'll tell you what. Hey, Mary Santora's right over there. I don't know how big her penis is.
When you like them.
Yeah, all
my
right,
penis
man.
Is big.
I gotta say, well, first, welcome.
Go ahead. Hi, guys, no babies. Go ahead.
This is, easily the fastest I've made a penis reference.
Yeah?
On the show.
I really? Mean,
oh, my God.
2 minutes in?
Yes. I like to ease in.
Okay.
Ease hey, in.
You do. That's
today.
Footer.
Yeah.
You know.
Had the listener say it. It'd be my fault.
He always brings up penises.
See, 2 minutes in. Cody's bringing up.
Ease in penises. Ease in penises.
That's why I'm breaking the seal for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now run away with it.
There you go. With impunity. Pound Cake's back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people. No penises for me until after quarantine, but...
Ugh.
Get yourself some quarantine.
No. We don't do that. We don't play those games.
Oh, all right.
Mm-mm.
It's like being under house arrest, but without the anklet.
Mm-hmm.
I got toys.
I wonder if people who have been under house arrest, you know, we received a lot of prison mail over the years. I'm sure some of those people had to serve out some house arrest. I wonder if people who have been under house arrest, if this is more annoying to them, or they just go, nah, you know, I can do it.
Do my stint.
Yeah.
It's probably easier than house arrest because you can still go for a walk, you can go to the grocery store, you can do essentials.
But you can do those with house arrest, can you? Yeah,
I think
you have to
depends
check in with your PO.
Yeah, we don't have to check in with anybody to go to the grocery store right now.
Mike DeWine.
I check in with Mike DeWine before I go to bed.
I stalked that guy's Twitter.
I sent him a goodnight tweet.
You did?
Yeah,
what
it was just
it
was a bunch of fire emojis.
Yeah, there you go.
He didn't answer. I get the feeling he's a little busy.
You know what?
I picked up a couple of things at Target this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And by a couple of things, I bought about $200 worth of batteries. And as I'm walking in, there's a sign in the door. It says, "This location is not a CDC testing center."
Yeah, I think that's the one by my place. If you we
so
went to the same one.
There are some Targets that are testing people for the CDC?
If they have like a Minute Clinic or, you know, because a lot of them have pharmacies with like that little Minute Clinic.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Attached to them.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's like a doctor like an urgent care at a Target?
Kind of.
Really?
Have you ever been in like a CVS or a Walgreens that has one of those?
CVS, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. They have some of those at Target.
The Drug Mart down the road has that too.
All right. Well, they made it very clear. It is interesting, though, how information hits people in different ways, because I was using one of the self-checkout kiosks, and there are 4 or 5 of them there. Only 2 of them were lit up, and there are these 2 older women behind me with masks on, and I go to the next thing that's open, and I'm beeping, and they're complaining to one of the managers, "Why aren't all these things open?" And the woman goes, "Social distancing."
Yeah.
And they go, "What? Social distancing." And they're like, "Ah, what?" I'm like, how do you not know what she's talking about? You're wearing masks. Like, how did that part get past you? Mm. Surely, old lady, you're familiar with what she's talking about.
Maybe they just always wear masks.
Maybe they were off to... Maybe they were going to go rob a steamboat, and they needed a couple of things. A riverboat cruise awaits us! Yeah, I don't know. I just thought that was really weird. They were utterly flummoxed by social distancing when she had to explain it to them, but they're wearing the masks. So, I don't know.
Do they have gloves on?
Huh?
Do they have gloves on?
Didn't notice. You know, I just looked over my shoulder once they started cackling back there about something, getting their hackles up. I didn't really pay attention. But I got all my batteries. Got all the batteries I'm going to need.
What?
I need some double A's.
Batteries!
What are they for?
Everything, anything.
This is precautionary?
Just I was low on batteries. I go, screw it. I'm buying 1,000 of every size battery just so I'll have them.
1,000.
I spent like $200 on batteries.
Strange.
Well, why not? I mean, it's not like you're not going to ever use...
No.
You're gonna use, batteries something you're going to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
batteries
bad.
Do go bad, actually.
Isn't it like 8 years, though?
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Yeah, if you bought $200 worth of batteries.
Batteries are expensive. That's
they
like
are
20
expensive.
Packs of batteries.
Yeah. I bought 3 of each size.
Of every size.
Yeah.
Even the ones you don't look...
Well, I didn't buy 1,000 watch batteries. If that's
I don't
right.
know.
He's got money to blow. He's a millionaire.
I bought 3 packages of triple A's, 3 packages of double A's, 3 packages of 9 volts, C's and D's. Right? For flashlights and things like that. But, you know...
C's and D's nuts.
C's and D's nuts.
The Duracell stimulus package right there.
That's right. So, you're welcome. I think it was Duracell. You're welcome, Duracell. Sure. Only the best at Casa Cox.
I don't even need batteries. I have like...
You're going to.
It has a charger.
The longer you're in. A charger? Jesus, how much do you use it?
No, a lot of them have that instead of a battery. You just plug it into like
just
a
USB drive?
Yeah, I really
All right.
The girl who sold it to me was like, you can charge this anywhere there's a USB port. So like your home.
In the car.
She said your car.
Of course. Well, you never know when you're going to need it, you know?
No, but I have like my remote for my Xbox, my controller, and my TV remote are like the only two things I have.
Wait, you have it connected to your Xbox?
Yeah.
The vibrator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweet.
That's the USB port I choose.
That's the power move right there.
That way I don't have to stop watching or playing Guitar Hero.
And does it work with the controller?
Yeah.
Oh.
B-B-A-A-A-A-A-A-X-Y.
Up, down, up, down, left, right, left, right, B-A-B-A, select, start.
Pause, pause.
Oh, boy.
Right trigger.
Yeah. She gets hooked up to that guitar. So you're like, yellow, orange, green, blue, whatever it is.
Blue, blue, blue.
More blue.
Whammy bar.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, listen, today is International Waffle Day. I don't know what that means to anyone. I did notice that we've talked about the Waffle House Index before, for people who are unfamiliar. People in the South know about this. But the Waffle House Index is an actual piece of data that the National Weather Service uses in conjunction with their normal data when they're ascertaining how bad a natural disaster is. If there are tornadoes or hurricanes, is the Waffle House Index... is based on how many Waffle Houses are closed, because their whole thing is, we're always open, right? Always a green light on at the Waffle House. And so when Waffle Houses are closed, they know that the natural disaster has been really, really bad, because they're open 24 hours a day. So the Waffle House Index is a real thing. But the coronavirus has done something that neither tornadoes, nor hurricanes, nor typhoons... nor thunder snow could do. They've closed hundreds of locations across the United States. They've closed 365 Waffle Houses around the United States.
That's
now they still
the
have
most ever, right?
1,600 of them open.
I was going to say.
There are a lot of Waffle Houses, and they're primarily, I don't know if any of them are like west of Texas. They're primarily like southeast, northeast, Midwest.
Wasn't there a broadcaster that got in trouble for calling the Waffle House cooks mammies?
Probably. I don't know. That sounds like something somebody would say. I have no idea.
A bunch of mammies working in
a bunch of mammies. Oh, my God.
I don't even know what that word means.
Mammy! It's like an old...
Just use it until
old,
you find out.
Old lady?
Yeah. Just use it. Just keep using
absolutely
it
not.
Recklessly until you find out why.
No, that's not how words work.
It's associated with, like, blackface vaudeville and, you know, the Tom and Jerry cartoons with the old black maid.
Yeah.
Or if you've seen Gone with the Wind, you know, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies.
Okay.
You know, like, the mammy is kind of that character that
Got
is
it.
Very much frowned upon in
modern
day. You
said keep using
day.
It. I'm commenting on people's Instagram. Congratulations, new mammy. Like, they had a baby or something.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She's such a little mammy. She just needs, like, a checkerboard bandana, and she'll be good to go. So, it's not directly connected with the Waffle House Index, but it made me think of that they've closed hundreds of their locations. But plenty of them are still open. From between here and Columbus, there's a couple of them, I think. Right down in Amherst, and there'll be Waffle House.
There's one down in Medina.
There you go.
Route 18.
The Medina Waffle House, as far as I know, still open for business.
I have Waffle House.
It's got to be closed in Ohio.
Yeah.
Everything's closed in Ohio.
All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Better not tell the Waffle House people.
Might be doing delivery. Yeah. I don't know if they're... But you can't go in.
Deliver eggs.
So, yeah, you get yourself a wham-bam thank you, mammy.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of their, Grand Slam over Moons over My Mammy? Isn't that one of their dishes over there?
It's Denny's.
Oh.
It's called COVID-19.
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 Because that's how much weight you'll gain in isolation.
Come on, dude. Put the Cheetos down.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
If you want to join us, 800-348-1007, 35192. You want to shoot me a text, and alancoxshow.com for everything else. Don't miss the Alan Cox Show Instagram hotties that are up there. If you want to submit yourself, if you feel like you're in a submissive mood and you want to connect with one William Scott Squire, then shoot him an email and say, hey, don't exclude me from the Instagram hotties. Volume 9.
That's right.
Would you like to be part of the first double-digit volume? Are you a fan of double digits? Then, by all means, submit yourself to Bill Squire. Just Bill at AlanCoxShow.com, right? Hey, here's some photos of me attached. An affidavit of my full consent that these be used in whatever way you deem necessary. Turns out that that kid who really made the rounds as a patient zero for the Spring Breaker Idiot Squad, the kid, I don't care if I get corona. Remember that kid?
Mm-hmm.
The kid that was all over the news.
If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami Spring Break for a while. About 2 months we've had this trip planned. 2-3 months. So we're just having a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens, bro. That is Cincinnati native Brady Sluder. Of course this guy's name. Of course his name is Brady.
Of course it is. Of course it's from Cincinnati.
Brady Sluder from the Nasty Natty.
I had to be an Ohio resident. Of course.
He is now apologizing profusely on his, I'm sure at everyone's behest that he's related to, knows. Imagine you're the parents and you see your daughter or son pop up in that little piece. It's now being used everywhere for, you know, not, it checks all the boxes for people that were like, kids are so stupid. Checks that box. Checks goddamn millennials, even though millennials are 40. What, you know, whatever.
Like entitled, all that.
All that stuff.
And you're just at home quarantined. Do you see, is that Joseph up on the
screen? Mr. and Mrs. Sluder are watching the nightly news. Oh, goddamn, Brady's on the tube, Margaret. Marcia, get in here.
I wanted to name him Joe.
That is your son.
Whoa. When did he get his butt whooped?
So he posted on Facebook how very, very sorry he is. And I want everybody to know that, boy, insensitivity and unawareness. He just wanted to party.
This after he got drunk, though.
I wasn't aware of the severity of my actions and comments. I'd like to take this time to own up to the mistakes I've made and apologize to the people I've offended.
That's a hangover post for sure. He's got the booze the next day. Yeah, he's just down. So sad.
Definitely came down.
His head hurts. He's throwing up.
If I get corona, I get corona.
I'm so sorry. I brought something to leave the house again.
Did you see there's also a kid that was licking, like, deodorants and stuff in a Walmart, and he got charged with
terrorism,
which I thought was a nice touch.
Think about that.
Why are you going to lick a deodorant? It's so dry.
Trouble is not, we're all on a no-fly list right now.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, if I get terrorism threats, I get terrorism threats. Ain't going to stop me from partying. I've been saving up for these terrorism threats all winter.
He's not licking the... He's, like, licking where you hold it.
Oh, I thought he just goes, like down an aisle the actual...
and just, like, licks
people are just all over dicks, the stuff. Like,
and there's another
what?
Person, like, that kid that, like, licked a toilet seat and then got coronavirus.
Ha!
Because there's, like, the coronavirus challenge was licking toilet seats because people are stupid.
They deserve to get corona. I don't wish this upon anybody. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you deserve to get corona.
Coronavirus!
But you can also get E. coli. Like, there's a lot of...
You get all kinds
toilet
of
toilet seat. Some big, problems. Fat, sweaty man... Yeah. With diarrhea, had to sit on that seat at some point.
Like, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't lick a toilet seat.
That's what happened, and you want to, like, just put your tongue all over it. Slob it down.
Hey, lick that.
Okay. I'm sure it smelled great.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Can you do the Donald Trump? Okay.
Yeah, right. I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm saying
again. Oh, you don't?
Don't do it.
Okay. That's fine. He's getting ready. Mm.
Our generation may feel invincible, Brady continues. Like I did when I commented, but we have a responsibility. This was clearly dictated to him, and he just kind of wrote down whatever they transcribed. I also have elderly people who I adore more than anything in the world, and other family members who are at risk, and I, blah, 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 blah. I deeply apologize. From the bottom of my heart. See, this guy is Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And all the other kids are Justin Timberlake.
Scot-free.
Yeah.
I think there was a girl that got busted, too. Like, she was saying something like this, and then she ended up getting coronavirus, and now she's like, I'm really sorry, everyone. I didn't know it was so serious, and doing the same thing. Apologizing from the bottom of their hearts.
Not coronavirus!
Not because it matters where what part of the heart it comes from.
The bottom of the bottle.
I apologize from the bottom of the bottle.
I apologize.
Apologize.
I sincerely apologize. Yeah. Brazil is another country. I like what they're doing for spring breakers. They're blowing people off the beach. Usually when you're in Brazil and you're getting blown off the beach, it's a good time.
Usually there's a guy named Mike involved.
And then
Miguel.
They've got helicopters that are flying low over the beaches to blow sand in everybody's face to get them to go home.
That's hella petty.
No, it's Mike in Brazil.
Mike in Brazil on Pornhub.
Oh, I
mean,
know.
What? I don't know. I was just laughing to make him feel better.
Ew.
Sunbathers at Gareta Beach in Brazil were treated to a sandstorm when police helicopters, who are supposed to enforce public distancing, flew really low over the beach. Why didn't they do that in Florida?
I love that.
But it's strange to me, though, because the president of Brazil is like their Trump. He's another one of these dimwit blowhards. So I'm not sure why he, because he's, you know, talks about how tough he is, and the media is all hysterical, and reopen the schools, and he's making fun of the doctors. And I'm cool not guys. So. That doesn't sound like a guy who would tell the cops, "Hey, go blow those people off the beach."
He probably thinks it's as funny as I
with
do
with the helicopters.
Well, they have governors and stuff down there too, don't they? They have
they do, yeah. And clearly, the governors are in charge.
And Brazil's so goddamn big.
Is it?
Yeah, it's real big.
Brazil is real big.
Oh, Brazil's huge.
And yet, out of all those,
I just looked at the map of the United States. I was like,
"See where Brazil is?"
I looked over there.
Brazil is way bigger. Well, is it bigger than the United States?
No, Brazil.
Brazil is a big,
but
and
it's
a lot
not
of
bigger than the United
really
States.
It's really long, I would say.
Okay.
Population-wise, I don't think they have more people than us, but like mile range, I think so.
Okay. Oh yeah, it's huge. Okay. So most of that it's country rainforest. Is Brazil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh,
209 million people.
One of my favorite. Couples from before the 90 days, this guy travels to Brazil and like has to take a boat down the Amazon River to get to this girl. He's there for like, it's a 2-day boat trip on top of all the other flying that he had to do. And he's so paranoid, he like won't go in the water without putting a condom on because he's afraid of that fish that swims up your urethra. And
The D fish.
Yeah, it's very.
Yuck.
It's very entertaining.
Well, Brazil and Mexico are like the last two holdouts in Latin America on the coronavirus. They're like, it's not going to be a big deal.
Mexico has probably bigger problems to worry about.
I just don't know why any country is looking at this and going, that'll be fine.
Right, especially when you
burn itself out before it gets to us.
Like what's happening in Italy and Spain right now, like it's real bad.
Well, isn't Italy kind of, they're not really seeing any more increase?
They're on the other side of the hump,
but they still, peak, like 10,000
people died. That's a lot of people.
No, yeah, I know that.
10,000 people did not die.
In Italy?
10,000 people died?
They were looking at like 650 deaths a day for a while.
I thought it was just, that was the one day. I thought they had like 3,400 people.
They had 400 people a day dying for like a week. And then there was one day they had like 700 people die in a day. I was just reading about this Italian nurse who killed herself so that she wouldn't infect anyone.
Oh my God.
She's 34.
That's commitment.
I know, right? Like what?
If I'm going down, y'all going down with me. Mm-mm.
Really, that's your first thought? If I'm going down, y'all going down with me.
I ain't killing myself.
Man, and he is the child of a nurse.
Right.
He is the child of a healthcare provider, of someone who is given of herself to, do nurses take the Hippocratic Oath? First, do no harm?
Yes, they do.
Makes sense that they would, right? Pound Cake's thought, the exact opposite of that.
Do all the harm.
Do all harm.
Do every harm.
If I'm going down, y'all going down with me. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Someone would run back into a fire to try and save Pound Cake and be like, if I'm here, you're here, and just hold him there.
He would hold him.
He'd put him in a bear hug and they'd burn together.
I already told you what would happen. If I was in a burning building with children, I would save the children and kind of, throw them out. If I burn alive, throw them out. Well, they have a chance of surviving versus sitting in there and burning to death, but I wouldn't want...
Well, he wouldn't save them first, Bill.
Hey, I molest children. You think I'm going to do that in a fire?
Yes.
Hey, I molest children.
You never said that it was contingent on pristine conditions.
Shoot your shot, man.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned...
I wouldn't want to survive because people would be like, I can't believe you chose your survival over those kids. You lived a long, sinful life.
No
like,
wonder he would want to save those kids. He would be looking forward to when they got well again.
Hey, I molest children.
I just like that if he didn't save the kids, the reason why he would is because he didn't want to deal with people yelling at him.
Yes, that's right.
I said that before. Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the actual children or any situation.
I would rather die in a fire than deal with that because I'm looked at as the bad guy. I'm like, I'm sorry.
He's only considered about the perception of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Bad optics.
Bad optics. That's why he's a Trump guy.
Not a six-year-old life ending.
There you go.
Bad optics.
Bad optics.
Well, we're all on the
Well, it is bad optics if you're let a kid burn. If you want to join us on the After Hours line, you can. You can leave a message for us. If you're a podcast listener, can't join us live, it is available to you anytime. It is 216-986-8903.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I had back surgery a couple of weeks ago, and I died on the table for about 7 minutes. I'd like to think that it was you guys that bring me back, but surgery was pretty early in the morning, so Rover was probably on. But just trying to catch up on shows. Love what you guys are doing. I heard Fish Wagon as well. Bill, don't let him give you crap about the $2,000 dog. I think I told you on Instagram I bought a $2,200 comic book a couple of days ago. So keep up the good work, guys, and thanks a lot.
Oh, comic book.
$2,200 comic book.
Now that I can see. It's got some investment value potentially. A dog's like a car. It devalues as soon as you drive it off the lot. So you do what you want to with your money.
My dog's smart, though.
So it's
$2,000 smart?
I wish he had told us which comic book he bought.
I watched her pee on your couch last week.
But she's a baby.
$2,000 smart.
But she's also learning, like, she knows sit and stay already.
Okay.
So she's learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, puppies have accidents like that.
I gotta say, though, there's no way that guy was dead for 7 minutes.
That's a long time to be
dead. He'd be a vegetable if he were dead for 7 minutes. I mean, I'll take him at his word. Somebody must have told him that.
I wonder what he remembers.
I think it was the first appearance of Dr. Doom, Fantastic Four, number 5. That was the comic book. Because he messaged me.
He's
like, hey, don't feel bad about spending the money on the dog. I just spent $2,200 on a comic book that I've been looking for a long time.
Huh.
So
I'll tell you what, that is a true collector. Because if you were spending $2,200 on a comic book, that is probably the peak of its worth. It's not going to go higher than that.
How do you know?
Because I collected comic books for a long time. And I still have, like, my whole collection.
Why wouldn't it get higher the older it gets?
Because they don't always. It depends more on the rarity of it than the time it's been around. So that's probably a very rare issue. Like, the bulk of my comic book collection is first issues. And so some of those are worth a lot, and some of them just aren't. Even though they're all 40 years old, my comic book collection. So, depends. $2,200. It's a lot of money.
It's so much money.
For Victor Von Doom fighting the Fantastic Four.
What's something that you would spend $2,200 on?
Nothing.
Nothing. There's
you wouldn't spend $2,200 on something? There's absolutely
right
something you would spend.
No. Like if you had
had $2,200 and you have to worry about money.
Oh, if I didn't have to worry about money?
$2,000. You say, I'm going to drop $2,000 on this.
Something that'd be like ridiculous.
Like a pool table. Oh.
Like that would be like people would be giving you crap like they're giving me crap.
I honestly don't know. I don't know if there's, I can't even think of something I love that much. Maybe, I don't know.
I'd buy.
$2,200, that's so much money.
I'd buy a bag or some sunglasses.
I couldn't wear a $2,000 bag. I'd be too nervous about it. I'm clumsy.
You shouldn't wear it. You should carry it.
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I can get a knockoff for $100. Who's going to know the difference?
Yeah, I would want a $2,000 bag. Or like some.
Sunglasses, I'll step on them and break them.
Well, you
and then I'd be so mad.
You keep those in like a
case. Yeah, a case. But still, it's like
you lock it up.
Maybe a piece of furniture, like a couch or a table or a
nice
TV
watch.
Or something.
You wouldn't like a nice watch.
That's one of those things that's
something ridiculous.
Too big. It's
be I get
more,
what you're saying.
A little
less practical.
Less practical, yes. That people are going to give you crap over.
A belly ring?
22, yeah. 22 belly ring.
Yes, that would give you. That would qualify.
I would not do that on a belly ring. I don't even know. I don't even like things that much. I like shoes, but that's kind of practical. Buy some like red bottom shoes or something like that.
Red bottom shoes, you make the rocket world go round.
I have to call them red bottom shoes because I don't know how to actually pronounce it. Christian Louboutin?
Christian Louboutin.
Louboutin.
Louboutin. Yeah.
See, that right there means I shouldn't own them. I can't
if you like
say
them,
it.
Who cares? Now yeah. You know. Could you show me the Louboutins in a six?
Six and a half, of course.
Hey!
Yeah.
There you go. Why not?
Or would you just blow it? You go to like the Champs-Élysées?
You know what? I could see myself taking that money to the casino.
That's just impractical.
If it did not matter.
Yeah.
If you had $2,000 to spend.
If I had $2,200 extra and I don't have to worry about it, I would probably go to the casino with it.
Really?
Yeah.
When would you stop? You'd blow the whole $2,000?
I would walk in knowing I'm going to spend this.
Yeah, this is my budget.
I see.
If I got up,
gravy.
Great. Gotcha. If not, I'm willing to lose. That's how you got to walk into gambling. I'm willing to lose this amount of money.
I know. This okay, so I
got. So that would probably be the most ridiculous thing I would do if I had $2,000 extra.
Okay. Well, there's a chance you can build on
see?
It. Slim chance you
very
can build on
stupid,
it.
Very stupid, though.
Well.
As dumb as a comic book,
it's
at least
a great
comic
investment.
Book, you walk out with something.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
If it's something that then you still have that thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have that experience of spending the money.
It would be very exhilarating. It would
be very exhilarating, but then it's gone.
But then...
I just watched Uncut Gems again. Like, that
I still
movie,
gotta see that.
Dude, it's so good, and it stresses me out so much.
Is it Gambler?
It's all about gambling.
Oh my God, I gotta watch
you
it.
You have to watch it. You will
get
love this
fix.
Movie, because it is all about that rush, and like, there, it just... It freaks me out so much how reckless he is with money.
And then they owe Dude. Like they owe a guy millions of dollars. It's not like $2,000.
All, yeah. It gets to a point though. I mean, on a much smaller scale, where you're gambling, and if you have like that addictive personality, where you're like, all right, just 100 more, and I'll win it back. Just one, okay, all right, $50 more, and I'll try again. And
I always said if I was ever going to be hooked on something, and I'm not really one of those people, it would be gambling.
Yeah.
And
it's
I don't know why.
It's a thrill. It's a rush. It's invigorating.
Like, let's see. Well, because there's money involved, and it's, you know.
He's doing like sports betting, which is so hard to bet on.
It's complicated.
It's complicated, and like the payouts can be huge, but they are also
the losses are
so
tragic.
Fickle. Yeah, like because anything can happen in a game.
Oh yeah,
anything, and it's just the losses are tragic, and he's putting so much money on the line that's really not his money, and it is. Intense, and he plays that role so well. It's so good.
I haven't seen it yet. I remember watching The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg. I don't think too many people saw that movie.
Mark Wahlberg.
But it's that same kind of thing where you're just like, there's so it's just constant tension because somebody's beating the hell out of them.
And it's it's one thing to be like a card, like playing cards, like if you play poker professionally, like there's luck, but that's also a skill.
Yeah.
But when you're just betting on a basketball
game. Yeah.
It just is so much more stress. I mean, maybe you know have a little bit of inside information here and there, but it's not.
It's too many variables.
Yeah, there's so many variables.
People getting hurt. See, at least you like with cards, like you said, that you're playing odds essentially.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, so dealer's showing a six in blackjack. That's a bust card. You're not gonna hit. You're gonna let them bust out. That kind of a thing is like, oh, statistically, this is what happens.
Well, it's the same. I mean,
you're working on people. Like someone just might not feel good that day.
Exactly.
Someone could be hungover.
But also,
you know
casinos
I mean?
Are all carpeted, and if somebody drops a playing card and then you slip on it,
then what?
You could break your legs.
Oh, blackjack?
Any card game. You can slip on that card.
Yeah.
Oh, the house always wins.
Until you sue them.
For falling on a card.
I fell on slip your and card.
Fall. The old slip and fall.
You owe me all the money.
Alan, I'm a healthcare worker who has all the symptoms, but I can't get tested because my temperature is not above 100.4.
That's scary.
What about 100.7? Yeah!
The eagle!
We take our temperature every morning. Mine's been low.
I've not taken my temperature yet.
I had mine taken on Saturday, and it was like 97.
Did you have a PLO?
We take it every morning.
I was just at a doctor appointment.
I had one nostril that was dripping today, because I was like, let me do this. And then...
You know what?
One nostril that was dripping.
Last week, what day was it?
That's not in it.
Yeah, I understand what you meant by that.
It wasn't dripping lighter fluid.
Yeah, he's like, well, that's not a symptom of the coronavirus, but still, it was very annoying.
Like, I was like, oh, maybe I'm getting a cold, but it was one nostril, and then it went away within, like, an hour.
That was him blowing his nose.
You want to lick it?
He did the old trucker rocket. What's it? Snot rocket?
Farmer pole.
Yeah, there you go.
Snot rocket, fire pole.
I don't know.
What is that sound effect?
That's diarrhea.
Diarrhea taking a dump. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not grossed out by that, but I'm grossed out by like vomit sounds.
Vomit's worse.
Vomit is worse.
Poop
but, like,
is easier to like handle. Poop's easier to handle. Vomit is sounds worse.
Well, I think we're so used to pooping sounds. My like, we do it every day. We don't throw up every day.
That's true, too.
My girlfriend came to bed last night, and she's like, you're lucky I love you. I'm like, why? She's like, because you forgot to flush the toilet.
Oh, you disgusting. Like,
how do you forget?
I was going...
Once you take the picture, then you put it through the filter and everything, you get sidetracked.
You don't flush before you go into the shower?
I just forgot one time.
You can't
I usually
that.
Then
I
you have. Get out and all the stink cells are in your hair.
The toilet seat was down.
It's what happened been to the, marinating in the heat and
why
the
didn't
steam.
You just, what happened to the waffle stump? And why didn't you just wait till you got in the shower?
I wanted to that today.
He's not practicing what he's preaching.
Oh, fart your farts over here.
Yeah.
Hey, my
liar.
Farts are farted.
Liar.
My farts are farted.
Stomp I never stomps. Said,
I washed off in the shower. I just forgot to flush the toilet. Yeah, and I felt real bad about it. And
did you tell her she could leave you one just to even the score?
No.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the phone. You should have listened to my mind. You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up.
You know who this is, Pound Cake?
No.
Take a guess.
ABBA? Don't you laugh at me! He asked me to act. It's a guess.
No, it's a funny guess. I like that. That's all.
Who is it?
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. You're not familiar with the song? It is, in my estimation, his high watermark out of an amazing, amazing catalog and career.
Diamonds. That's his greatest hit album. Diamonds.
Diamonds. Shine bright like a diamond.
I thought that was Rihanna.
It is Rihanna. This is Rihanna.
This is when Rihanna teamed up with ABBA. You don't know who did Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
I've never heard of that before.
I'm a tiny dancer man myself.
This is Elton John.
Oh! See, I didn't get to see the movie when it came to theaters.
That would be the only way he'd be familiar with it, is
You've
if he saw
the movie.
Movie
Rocket Man?
Yeah, I didn't get to see Rocket Man. I didn't go to the premiere.
Okay. He sings about vodka and tonic. I like vodka and tonic, right?
Man, I'm not as cultured in Elton John as I should be. He's
Watch
a gay
the
that
movie,
made.
But also just, he's got great songs, too.
You see, music was never really for me.
Elton John was never for
you?
You
don't even know what it is.
Exactly. I know it's not for me.
You don't like this?
I mean,
it's not for everyone.
It's not something I would bump to. Like, I like.
It's not a bumping song.
I like electronic. I like electronic.
He likes upbeat pop music.
Dance music. Mm. Like, when there's a pop artist that comes out with that, I dance to it. So if there was like a male Ariana Grande,
let's give him some. I'm Still Standing.
Oh, that's God,
more
really?
Yeah, that's, like if Elton that's John, more upbeat.
If Elton John came out with a pop song, I would probably He's like got, it.
All he put out
the
was pop
yeah,
songs.
The 80s was all pop songs. He's well, pop this was early 70s, I think. Yeah.
I think of him as like Piano Man.
Well, he was. That's Billy Joel. But Elton John plays the piano. He is a piano
He's a
man.
Piano.
Song
Not the piano,
piano
man
is Billy Joel.
But I want choreography. I want
He's
Elton
got
John.
All that.
He Elton wears John feathers can dance. And glitter. No,
he doesn't dance, but like he's got like some really upbeat, fun songs.
Man, I hate 80s music. 80s pop. We've been over this. You can never know what it's
like. Your blood like winter freezes just like I think it would be really weird to have someone else writing your songs. Bernie Taupin wrote all Elton John's songs. It'd be weird.
They were a great duo.
They were fantastic. He would play the piano and sing them. Bernie Taupin would write the lyrics. Just, it seems strange. For a solo artist, have someone else, like, you know, in the 50s they were doing it, Frank Sinatra. Nobody's writing their own songs, but, you know. And I realize there's a lot of pop artists. It's rare when a pop artist writes their own songs. But Elton John seems like a guy who'd be like, I got a lot of thoughts, I got a lot of, you know. But he realized that Bernie Taupin was the superior lyricist. Did this do anything for you, Poundcake?
Mm-hmm.
What about Little Genie? Go back a little ways? Anyway, I didn't mean to go down this whole road. Elton John is hosting a thing that we're doing on Sunday night. It is the iHeart Living Room Concert for America.
Whoa.
Rolls right off the tongue. It's going to be on Fox, and it's going to be a whole slew of artists performing from their homes.
I wonder where they got the idea for that. Because Bill Squire's iHeart Radio Show Your Stripes for America event has been going on for 7 years.
Oh! Mm-hmm. All right. Did you do it from your living room on a cell phone?
No.
Oh, because I think that's what they're doing.
All right.
Alicia Keys.
All Imagine. They're all singing Imagine.
Yeah.
At the same time.
At the same time. Elton John will host performances by Alicia Keys, Backstreet Boys, Billie Eilish, Billy Joe Armstrong, Attack of the Billies, Mariah Carey, Tim McGraw, and more. So I think it will air on WMMS. It will air Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. And there are going to be opportunities for people to donate to charities throughout. So that is this Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox, the iHeart Living Room Concert for America, presented by Fox and hosted by Elton John.
In Rocketman, they mentioned that at one point he was selling more albums than like the rest of the top 10 like combined.
Sure, probably.
He was selling so many
albums. I'm not saying he's not talented, it's just...
It doesn't blow your skirt.
I think there's stuff in there that you would like. Maybe Crocodile Rock. He's a little too cheesy for you, too.
He is. He's very cheesy. And like I said, I don't take away from his talent.
If you watched the movie, you would like it.
He has. I'm sure I would, because I like the character. Like not his character, but like I like the person that Elton John is, but I don't have to necessarily like his music.
Oh, yeah?
We come from the same cloth. Being gay and pop stars and men wanting us all the time.
Arguably his butchest song.
Didn't him and Freddie Mercury have a thing?
I think Elton John and Freddie Mercury had a thing with everybody else in the 70s. Jagger, David Bowie.
Oh, they were all doing each other?
I think so.
Jagger's gay.
He dabbled.
This makes me feel like I'm 7 years old. My mom was always playing Elton John in the house. Anyway, Saturday night is all right for Fightin' Bill.
This is a Saturday. No, that's Fall Out Boy.
No.
Fall Out Boy took it.
That's this Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Did they cover this song?
Probably. Oh, a lot of people cover that song.
Oh, my God. I hate that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Get to the chorus so she can hear it. Yeah.
Saturday. Fightin'
it. Oh, I'm sorry. I stopped it. Here, let me dig you in here a second.
I didn't even know Fall Out Boy covered this.
I don't think they did.
They have a song called Saturday.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
But they do that...
To like a tribute?
No, it's different.
It's a sample, probably.
Alan, does since women listen to your show, could you please do men's Instagram hotties? No.
No.
Come on.
No. Get your own show. That's my answer. Saturday.
Does he do that? Saturday.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
That's how this song starts.
If I remember the song you're thinking about, it's not the, they don't do a cover. Anyway, Elton John is hosting this iHeart Concert for America on Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox.
Yeah, if we did the men's Instagram, basically, just go to the alancoxshow.com. There's pictures of me and Alan and Pound Cake. There you go. There's the hotties
for
you,
ladies.
There you
go. There's a lot of sexy in that trio
right there. That's
right. I don't know what to tell you beyond that. You know, they call all these people that are threatened with COVID-19 in the upper demographics, you know, all these veterans and 80-year-olds, they used to call them, well, they still do, they call them the greatest generation. The greatest generation, because they sacrificed of themselves through World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War. But the greatest generation were the World War II guys, and obviously those people are dying off. But there are still some around. And when you think what those people had to sacrifice versus what we are being asked to do, which is just don't go anywhere.
Stay home with your internet and your streaming and your
right.
your endless entertainment. Yes.
Just be home, but have the world at the tip of your fingers.
Mm-hmm. Tip of your lips.
There's a World War II veteran from England. He's 95. His name is Harry Fenn. And he's put out a public service announcement that they're running in the UK.
My name is Harry Fenn, and I'm 95 years old. In 1944, I served my country and did my duty. Now it's your duty to sit on the couch. Please save lives. It's as simple as that.
Uh-huh, there you go.
Jeez.
Please sit on your couch. Yes, we were shot at by the Germans on the beaches, and a lot of us died, and we had friends who were... had their brains blown out right in front of us, or bayoneted through the chest. But please, do your part for your country and sit on your couch.
Watch Netflix.
And people still can't manage to do that.
When he said that, it hurt my chest.
Well, like, again, we're just not that country anymore.
I know, but I'm not. I'm a hero.
You know?
Yeah, but
Bill's a hero.
Like, I'm a hero. How are you a hero?
Because he sits on his couch.
I sit on my couch.
Oh.
And have been for a long time.
You were a hero before it was required.
Yeah. Bill is part of this greatest generation.
I sat on my couch so much, I doubled my Chipotle order because I knew I would be hungry today.
Good for you.
And I ate it for lunch. So,
thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
Did you get some of their new queso blanco? It's got just the right amount of kick.
You're getting really good at these plugs.
Just trying. It does have just the right amount of kick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Blancos, they're too much kick in them.
Yeah.
That's been my primary complaint about all the Blancos, or the quesos.
Queso Blanco.
Too much kick in this.
It's like, just the right amount, made with 13 real ingredients.
Could someone tell me where I can get some queso with... I'm a Goldilocks when it comes to my queso.
Not too much.
Just the right amount.
It's all kick. I get this queso all... kick.
It's like feet coming at my face. It's so much kick.
Oh.
Norm,
Jackie Chan's queso.
Other quesos. Chipotle's queso.
So anyway, my heart kind of dropped a little bit when I heard this guy, because it's like, Jesus Christ, these people that like went to war and, you know.
And he's like, just sit. That's all you got
to
do, man.
And he has got to feel strange about doing it, too. You may not have to tell them to sit and they won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit still. You don't even have to sit. You just have to be in.
Just be home.
You can move as much as you want.
Yeah. Sit at home and move as much as you want around your place, your flat. You can sit down and then get up sometimes, you know, so you don't get the embolisms in your legs.
Might even lay.
Walk around.
If you feel like it.
Maybe hand somebody a flash of your fanny.
Flash your fanny.
Get right up in my fanny.
But this is obviously a job for Pound Cake.
You guys are doing just fine, but I want you to sit on your fanny.
Your fanny is not on your butt.
That's your bum. Your fanny is your front butt.
Your front butt.
You guys can't. You guys aren't trying hard enough. If you want to sit on your fanny, all you gotta do is lean forward.
You have a fanny you can sit on.
Big lips, my dear.
That might be the best you've ever done with the accent.
I was say, he, for a while, was sounding like a congested Jamaican.
Yeah. He's trying. Yeah.
The big one nostril.
Big lips, my dear, needs to be safe.
That sounds like something, that James Bond would say. Big lips, my dear.
Big lips, my dear.
All right, I'll make a note. British pound cake. Big lips, my dear. You never would have thought that the state of Kentucky would have been among the foremost states to really take this coronavirus thing seriously. But now that they have a Democratic governor who pays attention to things like facts and science, as opposed to the last guy they had, who was basically a rodeo clown, this guy Andy Beshear, who is the new governor of Kentucky, gave a press conference, and he was really... Now, what I'm going to play for you is this guy getting mad. So this guy is cool as a cucumber because this is him really flipping out. But he was very, very upset at how not seriously a lot of people in his state are still taking all of this.
I want to say we still have folks that aren't following the recommendations, and that ultimately hurts all of us. We have a positive case today from someone who attended a coronavirus party. And this is the part where I, the person that tell everybody to be calm, have to remain calm myself. But this is one that makes me mad.
That is Andy Beshear getting really, really upset.
He is worked
That's
up.
How laid back this guy is.
Do you see there's like a mayor and he's going viral because he's like, all right, dip shrimps, stay home. Like he's like on Facebook, he puts this out. He's like,
stay home.
And he's just like, I don't have the best bedside manner, but you got to stay home. You guys are idiots. If you're going out and interacting with people, this is a serious thing. Mm-hmm. You're killing people. You're getting people sick.
Here, let me. You want me to recreate it for you, Bill?
Yeah.
All right. Listen up, dipshits and sensible people. I might not have the best bedside manner. I might not put you at ease like the governor does, but I don't care. You need to realize this is a serious ordeal. In fact, it's a big f***ing deal. Stay at home. Yeah, kind of like that. Stay at home.
Stay go. At home.
Yeah,
it's
hey.
A big deal.
Andy Beshear's kind of hot.
I like how he goes, I know I don't have the bedside manner, M-A-N-O-R. Like the governor. But hey, listen, you know, you do what you can.
That's what I'm going to call my bedroom.
He's a mayor of Walton, Kentucky. That's Gabe Brown.
Dip shrimps.
And telling people, hey, stay at home.
That should just be a public service announcement that's playing on a loop.
Listen up, dipshits and sensible people. And sensible people.
Both.
I like that.
Both need to listen.
Listen up, dipshits and sensible people. I might not have the best manner. I might not put you at ease like the governor does, but I don't
and
care.
And it's great. It's great because it works because it is gender neutral. Mm-hmm. It's all inclusive. Mm-hmm. And it is an attention getter.
But also, like it's important for the mayor or the governor of any state or municipality to really know their electorate. Mm-hmm. And this guy knows his electorate. I'm a mayor in Kentucky. Hey, morons, stay at home, all right? You don't need 23 cases of Mountain Dew.
I felt like he was talking right to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Right there.
Are you a
sensible
person or a dip shrimp?
Well, I'm allergic to shellfish, so I'm pretty sensible, I guess.
It's all right. Yeah, that's from Boone County, Kentucky. Gabe Brown is the mayor of Walton, Kentucky.
Why you gotta call him names?
Did you read the whole post, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
He ends with, be responsible. If you don't, then screw you. And then he signs it, warmest regards, Mayor Gabe Brown.
I like him.
People are like, geez, are you really a mayor? The comments on this thing. I'm tired of COVID-19 conference calls. I take three a day and then one extra on the weekend.
Rabbit Hatch, Kentucky, they have a dog for a mayor. Mm-hmm. So being a mayor is not the hardest thing to do in Kentucky.
But I like how this guy is at his wit's end because he gets three coronavirus calls a day.
It's a lot,
that
man.
He has to take. And then one on the weekend. I'm telling you.
Not three coronavirus calls a day.
Conference calls.
Conference calls.
Right.
Which those are
exhausting.
Miserable fun whatsoever.
Yeah. No matter what job you have.
I mean, if you don't like what I'm telling you, then go buy some toilet paper, he says.
I had three of those yesterday, and I was good. I was like, all right, that's more than enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a week ago, nobody knew what Zoom was, and now everyone's on Zoom. The Skype people must be ready to hang themselves.
What happened to Skype?
Exactly.
Zoom.
Zoom swept in on a chandelier. Yeah, Microsoft.
Microsoft's like, yay.
Look what we have.
I pray every night that the state, county, and region that I love with all my heart will stop doing nonsensical things. Treat this seriously. If you don't, then screw you, is what he says. This will pass. Take it seriously. It is here. Act like you have the virus and don't spread it to other people. More cases are coming. If you ignore this problem, worst thing that could happen is that your mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, aunts, and uncles could die. Be responsible. If you don't, then screw you. Warmest regards, Mayor Gabe Brown.
That's some hot regards right there. That ain't warm.
Regards. I like how he mixes up his tenses, too. Be responsible. If you don't, then screw you. I think it would be, if you're not, then screw you. If you don't be responsible,
then screw you. If you don't be responsible,
then screw you.
Again, he's got to speak to his constituents.
He knows his electorate. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Gabe Brown. He's out there. The wife of some Nigerian politician, by the way, took a whole bunch of heat. Nigeria is a very strange country in that it's a very... it's the most...
princes per capita.
Probably. Yes.
They need money now.
But in Africa, it's like the most prosperous country there. They have a ton of professors and doctors and, you know, very, like, well-respected people. But there's also huge portions of that country where people are still talking to snakes and drinking bleach to make somebody not gay and that kind of stuff, you know. And there was the wife of some prominent politician who was like, we got to pay attention to science because religion is garbage. Which people did not take too kindly over there. But she's like, religion has failed the world, and only science can save mankind.
Wow.
Here's her quote. When I said that I was more than convinced that religion is man-made and a bastion of sexism, which has subjugated women, fostered gender inequality, stifled progressive thinking, retarded development, and invariably added little or no value to our lives, I was called unprintable names.
Jeez.
But I remain unshakable in my conviction. There you go.
Hell yeah, lady.
That's why.
Yeah.
So anyway,
for herself.
So in Kentucky, they say, "Listen up, dip shrimps." And over in Nigeria, I was called unprintable names for my convictions. Yes. So you know, words getting around, man. Words getting around.
What?
Science is where it's at, baby. I wish I were more scientifically science, baby. Yeah. I wish I knew more science. I wish I was smarter in that way. Wish I was smart, period. But I mean, I wish I was smart in that way, in that mathematical, scientific way that my older children are. And I'm so happy that they are. Because you can punch your own ticket, man, with that kind of stuff.
Should we hang a periodic table in here? Would that help?
Yeah, but then the tough part of that is figuring out when you hang it, right?
Well, it's only periodic. Once every 28 days.
Right. Oh.
It's a moon cycle. You know?
Oh, that's what
it
is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
you sync
good.
Up with the waves and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me roll one in here, and then I'll quiz pound cake on the atomic weight of manganese.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go.
Don't be doing that.
You're boring me.
We've left our families to help you ignore yours.
Family time's always best when it's forced.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
I didn't even, a bunch of people were texting me in the break. It was completely coincidental that I was talking about Elton John hosting that iHeart concert for America on Sunday night on Fox. It is his birthday today.
It is also my sister's birthday.
Anyway, so Elton John, who turns 73 today, and all the Elton John fans were blowing me up, and that was completely coincidental that I was talking to him. How old is your sister, and how many number ones does she have?
She's 27. It's the redhead one, mm-hmm. And she has two kids, so...
Yeah.
Two number ones?
Well, she got in there fast, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's like, you're not going to stop me from squeezing these cabbages before I'm 30. Mm-hmm. So you got another one coming?
No, she got a tube side.
The other one's got another one coming.
Other one, older one, foxy one.
Yeah, yeah.
So Elena's the one, the younger sister, right?
Elena's younger, Martina's older.
Okay,
yes.
Happy birthday, Elena.
Yay, happy birthday, Elena.
Yeah, happy birthday, Elena.
What did you, are you going to do something with her?
She's coming over tonight, and I'm going to make dinner.
So
and
distancing.
She's going to come over tonight. We'll be fine. She's been in her house for 3 weeks. She's going to come over tonight, make dinner, mm-hmm. and we'll hang out for a little bit.
What will you have?
We're going to do, like, chicken fajita bowls, kind of. Like, peppers and onions and chicken and rice. And
that's her birthday meal?
I can't cook much. What do you want me to cook?
I mean, isn't it her choice? It's her birthday.
It is her birthday, but I already made the chicken yesterday. So.
Limited resources.
Oh, you prepped the chicken.
Well, I bought a big thing of it. It only came in 2 pounds, so I had all this extra chicken.
I think the important part is I assume that she's coming by herself to get the hell out of the house and away from those kids.
Yes. Come hang out for a little bit.
That's
relax.
The real birthday gift. So your sister, younger sister, is the same age as Pound Cake.
Yes.
And yet, she seems, only having met her on a couple of occasions, seems lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But also seems so accomplished.
Yeah.
Compared to our young Cody.
She's got some kids. That'll grow you up real quick.
It sure will.
My dear.
Yeah.
It sure will. He's going doing shtick again. He's like a barnacle on a ship. Once he gets a hit, he keeps swinging, boy. Oh, swinging.
With my eyes closed.
All right, so, okay, good. Well, happy birthday to her.
And Lena and Elton.
Yeah, Elton John, 73. My wife's family, on her mother's side, is French-Canadian. And her maternal grandmother, who died before I... got to meet her. We were together, but I didn't meet her. I met Gwen's mother at her mother's funeral. So I never met the woman. But she was from Billings, Montana, originally. And so anytime I see something, we have bureau chiefs in Billings, Montana. And Billings comes up in the news today because of a very happy accident. There's a dentist in Billings, Montana. And again, I don't know how big it is. It's probably one of the biggest cities in Montana. I don't know what that means. But I think if you're living in Montana, you probably don't have to do a whole lot of physical distancing, I don't think. I mean, there are not that many people in Montana. You know, you hear about guys like Letterman and Maury Povich, celebrities that have houses there, big ranches. When this coronavirus thing blew up, they just skipped town and went to their house. If you're sitting in a house in the middle of Montana, you're great. You're not going to see anybody. You're just kicking it. Like, you don't care what's going on.
You still need supplies and stuff.
You got them. I mean, I imagine if you've got a ranch or a house in Montana, that thing is already stocked. It's not like you get there and go, oh, I got to go grocery shopping, you know? It's like where you go, even in the best of times, to just get away from everybody.
It just seems like a lot of work.
Enjoy some big sky country.
Mm-hmm.
You might have staff there. You might have to kick the staff out. So get out of here, you deadbeats.
They probably got horses and stuff you got to maintain.
Yeah, they might have staff. Anyway, this dentist in Billings, Montana, dynamite name, Dr. Remington Townsend. White guy, if you can believe it. Dr. Remington Townsend discovered because of a messed up order a few years ago. 6 years ago, they way over-ordered masks. They way over-ordered medical masks, and they've had them in storage. Somebody clicked an extra zero or something on a shipping order, and they were going to send all of their extra supplies back to the factory before this thing blew up. But they held on to them, and now they are donating 700,000 masks.
Oh, my God. Did they accidentally order a million?
They accidentally ordered a lot more than they needed.
How do you have the budget for that?
And also, who doesn't return that?
Well, I think it's one of those things like, Alan, with his batteries. They're not going to go bad and you'll use them eventually.
I'll tell you who doesn't return them. Dr. Remington Townsend, that's who.
That's right. Oh, it worked out, I guess.
That's a big budget, though.
So he's been getting hit up with from hospitals all over the country. A hospital in Wyoming said they were down to their last 100 masks. He's been hearing from hospitals all around the country.
He's like Oprah. You get a mask. You get a mask.
You get a mask.
Not you. Y'all thought it was a hoax. You don't get a mask.
I was going to say, I wonder how he is distributing them, like deciding who gets what.
I don't know.
Probably just local.
First come, first serve. Yeah. You can walk in there and pop off.
Probably more. I think they're probably doing a little bit more than first come, first serve. They're saying, hey, let's get these to the places that really need them.
First.
Like New York. Needs them.
700,000.
So let's get them out there.
I mean, that's a lot, but is that enough?
They're thin, they're packed tight. They're, mm-hmm. You know. Well, it's not enough, but it's more than anybody thought they had up until this guy said something.
How much would we need to be, like, okay?
10 billion.
10 billion masks. Yeah, I don't know.
What if we just get one mask, like
pass it around.
Like the mask.
Mm.
You put it on, you become a deranged cartoon character.
He wasn't really that health safety conscious.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Am I picturing the movie wrong? Because I thought he put on the mask and became a doctor.
No. He was licking toilet seats and deodorant and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Stanley Ipkiss is the person you're thinking of.
A.K.A. Cuban Pete.
Yeah. Speaking of Oprah, she's making Stedman live in the guest house because he didn't take this whole thing seriously enough. Boy, what has kept those two together, by the way, for 35 years? Stedman. Oprah and Stedman.
Stedman laying that pipe.
Right.
Really? The guy's like 70.
They call him Stedman.
Who is she?
They call him Stedman?
I just imagine that's what Oprah calls him.
I just figured that he was like her beard, not in like a lesbian kind of way, but just like she wanted to look somewhat relatable. She didn't have kids. She's super rich. You know, she found a guy who's also accomplished, and she's like, I'll just hang out.
But what did he do?
Oh, he's like a hedge fund guy or something, I think.
I bet you his guest house is literally...
better than anybody else's house.
Like,
that
it's,
yeah.
It's a mansion.
Of course. Yeah. But still, she's like, I know we've been together for 35 years. Get your ass in the guest house.
Stedman is at the guest house because Stedman did not arrive from Chicago until Thursday. So Stedman's like, what's the procedure for coming home? The procedure is, you ain't coming and sleeping in my bed. Literally, Ariana, he goes, I'm not. I go, oh, no. It doesn't work that way. Have you not been paying attention to the news? Social distancing doesn't mean you're going to go sleep in the bed with the person when you have just got off American Airlines. We cannot play those games, so we're taking it very seriously. You know, my friends say, oh, isn't Stedman upset? Oh, no, he's not. He really is. He's happy to make me safe.
Mm-hmm. You figure Oprah is at particular risk.
How are you going to get dogged?
She's a heavy gal,
Oprah.
Boy. Huh?
How are you going to get dogged by Oprah? She's like, you ain't sleeping in my bed.
Oh, yeah. You're going to put up with it because she's a billionaire.
And so also, yeah, right. Big yeah, sacrifice.
You're just like, okay, I'll just go stay in this
entire
other
house.
Sometimes yeah. I forget that Oprah is a billionaire.
He's like, how? Oprah's still got still sleeping in that queen bed, so he's got that little sliver on the side there. She's taking up the rest of it. I bet she like butterflies herself in that bed.
Yeah,
you he's think happy she... to get out in the guest
well,
house.
You know
he was looking for an excuse to get out to the guest house.
She loves bed.
I love bed.
That's her in the morning. She doesn't want to get up.
So don't you want to get up and earn that $1 billion? Nope.
I love bread.
Oh, bread, Bill, is what she said.
I love bread.
Maybe she sleeps on a bed of bread.
Maybe. She calls him Breadman.
Yeah.
That's how much she loves him.
He's sleeping in my bread.
Yeah. But she's visiting him there out at the guest house. She's standing 15 feet away from him.
How you doing?
Meals are dropped off.
Meals are dropped off.
Yeah. Yeah, she got a chef. He is living the life.
Rich people.
He's like, I don't have to have Oprah in my ear talking about Weight Watchers.
You think he pressured her at one point to get married? You think he wants
Did
to get married?
Did they get married?
No, they're not married. She says she doesn't want to get married.
Because she's got all that. She's all self-made.
Yeah,
what
she
do you
said,
need to share it for?
She said, I provided the life I wanted for myself.
Yeah, but that's kind of a binary understanding of marriage. I mean, people don't just get married because they don't have any money. You don't just marry another person because they make more money than you do.
Maybe don't. Lots of people do.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, if you're Oprah and Stedman, neither of you need the other one's money. So I'm sure at some point, I think she's been pretty open about it over the years. She's like, yeah, for a while, he was really crawling up my ass to get married. I didn't want to.
Probably for health insurance reasons.
So then,
well, no, I'm sure
Oprah would get on your health insurance.
Something were to happen to him.
You have Blue Cross Blue Shield.
If something were to happen to him or something happened to Oprah, like, the relatives have probably all died off. So someone has to call it the shot.
But yeah, but you can still be in someone's will.
You can give
and
someone
be
power
there.
Of attorney and all that stuff.
Beneficiary, is that the word I'm looking for?
Beneficiary is a word, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that the word you're looking
They're
for?
They're the person in charge of
power
your
of
will.
Attorney.
Executor
power
of the will.
Executor.
Beneficiary. Power of attorney. All these terms were thrown around, probably mildly applicable.
Sure.
I mean, sure. I just think about marriage in the aspect of, like, if you're laid up in the bed with a feeding tube, you want the person that you marry to call the shots.
Like, you can still put someone trust. In charge.
I feel like that's the default, though. Like, they go to your spouse first.
Right, but if you don't have a spouse, you are in charge of appointing somebody. So, like, just because I'm not married doesn't mean I don't have control over who makes those calls.
That was the huge sticking point with gay marriage being legal. As they're like, look, I love this person, and if they got sick or something, you're telling me that legally I couldn't be there making decisions for them because we're not married.
But can't you just appoint somebody?
You can, but that, but
here's my living will. I'm right. not married. This is the person who's allowed to make decisions for me.
You can. Sometimes it's a family member. Yeah. It's yeah, sure you can. But you know, when gay marriage was being fought for, they were like, "Why should that right be afforded to other people and not us?"
Right.
Yeah. Even though there are options.
Okay.
But
that's what I thought.
You know, listen. When you eventually get married and have kids, it you know you
half of that is true.
Yeah, you won't have to worry about kids? That.
I'm gonna have yeah. By the way, immaculate conception over here.
Yeah,
I always thought about the slippery slope being not someone trying to marry their dog, but someone that has a side piece, like side piece want rules, like so they can be in the emergency room, or if they could be, like if the guy's laid up, she's like, all right, well I get my time, wife. You know, I get 2 to 5. This is my visitation hours.
2 to 5.
I'm the side. It's the side piece regulation rules. Act 14.
Uh huh.
What would you do?
Act 14.
What would you do if you had your significant other in the hospital and some chick shows up, or for you guys it would be a dude. A dude shows up and he's like, "We've been together for 10 years. I don't know who you are. She's never mentioned you."
Charles Kuralt, very famous case. Charles Kuralt was this guy that did bald, chubby dude, was on CBS News for 30 years. Did the show on the road with Charles Kuralt, right?
Two families, right?
Two families. Yep, he had two families that knew nothing about. Maybe the side piece family, the woman knew.
Could you even be mad because they loved him just as much as you did?
The wife met the mistress at his funeral.
That's what I'm saying.
She's like, we have a whole family with him. Like when he had a family in New York or something, and then we need to go on the road and do these pieces. I guess 30 years ago, he met some woman in North Dakota or something, and he had a family. And this guy was like a wholesome dude.
Wasn't
right?
Jim Gaffigan just in a movie last year that was like similar to this, where he had two families?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, like his son ended up like having him as an Uber driver, and then his son found out that he has this whole other family, that he was living this double life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
But I mean, like, I couldn't. Could you even? Would you be mad at the other person?
Being Frank is the Gaffigan movie.
Yeah, I'd probably be more mad at the significant other that was keeping the secret from me.
Right, but like, if that other person showed up, you'd have to let him in, right? You'd have to be like, well, just you'd have to. Well, they have just as much entitlement to you.
No, they don't.
If they were with him for the same amount of time.
But they're not legally married to.
Yeah, they're not legally married.
Unless they're a polygamist. I mean, unless
but even
you know,
then,
I mean, you're
like,
legally, but you, I mean, as a person, you wouldn't be like, oh, they loved him. They have a family. You would be like, screw you. You're not his. You know what I mean? You're not her husband.
I'd be like, that would be
because they're losing a father, and they're losing a you know, or a wife for you.
Mm-hmm. I'd be devastated, but I wouldn't want to. I would.
Would you deny his other kids access to seeing their father?
Yeah.
No, it's their father too. Or for you guys, it's their wife and their mother.
They were living a lie.
Yeah,
but they didn't know.
It's such a different scenario if it's a lady that had secret kids.
Oh yeah, a lady can't have secret kids. I'm thinking it for me.
I'm a real adult if I'm just like, hey, you're getting a little fat.
In one area, too. What's that about?
But you hey, I didn't see you for a couple of weeks. Where are you at? Oh, just, you know,
work
getting
trip.
Back into shape.
But you figure one family isn't going to see him as often as the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there have to be explanations that the woman would have to give the kids as to why their dad wasn't around.
I have a friend that this happened to. I think it was his grandfather or something like that, had two families, and turns out his family was the side piece family. So when the grandfather passed, he left all of his assets to the actual family. So he was devastated.
I just don't know why you want to do all that work.
Yeah, women can't have secret families.
His grandfather was a pilot.
Like, they can have other...
I could have another husband.
Another dude, but yeah.
Mary, bite your tongue. Women can do whatever they put their minds to.
We could adopt.
Don't you... Oh.
I could have another family that I adopt.
You could adopt a secret family.
I could. I could have another husband and we could adopt kids.
All right, I want you to go adopt a couple of kids, but don't tell me who they are or what they look like. I wouldn't be surprised.
Is it a boy? I think it's a boy.
Oh, he's 16, you say? Perfect age. Oh, that's a fun age, isn't it? It's a fun age. Yeah, well, there you go.
You'd have to let him see him.
No, you wouldn't.
That's their dad.
Who cares?
It's their dad.
I have no
dad.
Look how I turned out.
Great.
Let's get this guy a dad.
Coffin skate.
Toot sweet.
I'm going to coffin skate you out of this emergency room.
Coffin skate it. Coffin skate it.
Security.
Yeah.
Get this side piece family out of here. They're stinking up my hallway.
Set the hospital on fire and not save any of them.
Coffin skated.
The after hours line, you can always leave us a message. It is 216-986-8903.
Hi all, Ron from Talmadge. Show's meteoric at best. Eric Poundcake's voice light up yesterday when he learned the word shuttlecock. I thought I'd introduce him to petcock, which is a type of valve.
Yeah, have you ever heard of a petcock?
A type of valve?
A valve in a car, like a petcock is something, I think it has to do with like, sometimes the heat or the air conditioning or something. It feels like old-timey, but I think some cars, yeah, you might still be able to put them in. A petcock.
No, never heard of it.
All right.
I'll let him imagine if pet can be a verb or a noun there. Second, I'm really digging the new Meritalica and slippery cervix joint, Masturbation of Puppets. Later.
Ah, there you go. Masturbation of Puppets. Meritalica. That would be funny if you knew any Metallica songs.
I know a couple lines of a few.
Yeah. Nothing else.
Just wait for Monday.
Metallica Monday, Mare Metallica.
Mare Metallica Monday.
Because Metallica is doing their streaming on Mondays now.
And I'm going to release
old
a video.
Concerts, and you're going to do Mare Metallica Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Going to glom right on.
Yeah, just
gonna
wait.
Going to hit your wagon to that star.
You just wait until real Metallica shares it, and I become famous.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys will be like, oh, we knew her when.
They'll go, whoa, this woman is amazing doing our songs and from such a spacious, sunny apartment.
Right?
These are the kind of songs we would imagine coming from someone who was living underground. So no. You don't want to do Masturbator of Puppets?
No. I don't know that. I haven't written them yet.
You sure?
I don't even know how that one starts.
That was how it started.
When did the lyrics come?
Not for a while.
Okay, I got time.
I'll just start you with that.
Yeah, that's all I need. That's all I need to make a masterpiece.
Uh-huh. All right. Here, I'll get you some lyrics. Hold on. You can probably, this makes sense to you probably, right?
Yeah.
It is fun to see somebody who is entirely unfamiliar with something that I've loved like for 35 years, you know?
I know how that one
baffled by him.
Master.
You're right.
Okay, so. Blaster.
Okay, Steve.
This one's about building a house.
Blaster.
Blaster.
Uh-huh.
Faster. You got to do it quicker. You're on a deadline.
No,
I don't know it. Okay,
the master puppets built with the singing and the puppets and the master masturbation and the puppets and the master blaster.
Master blaster. Do you got it or do you win? I'll cover the hole.
Hey, just wait till Monday.
No, that's it. Do you got really it and cover the hole?
Yeah, I really want you to work on them. Or 800-348-1007. Want to join us live? Shoot a text 35192. The Alan Cox Show Instagram Hotties, Volume 9, new this week and updated for you every Monday, courtesy of our own William Squire. If you want to be, we're getting a lot of regional talent, by the way. Shouldn't even say that. I'm sure we get people from the Bureau Chief pool and whatever. So. Submit yourself if you're so inclined, and submit yourself to Bill Squire. If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio from wherever outside of Ohio, tell me where you do that. We'll make sure you're on the map. Roger is brand new in Atlantic, PA. He called from the road yesterday. He's driving, he's hauling the big rigs full of TP. Make sure people are happy and safe and not punching each other over toilet paper. Tammy listens in Tyler, Texas. Zach is in.
It's like a tongue
Tammy
twister.
Tunes in from Tyler, Texas.
Yeah, Tammy tunes.
Tammy
in from
tunes
Tyler.
In from Tyler, Texas. Zach listens in New Orleans. Andy's in Bozeman, Montana. Eddie's in La Mesa, California. Ashlyn is in Delanco, New Jersey. And DeAndre is in Vallejo, California. So thanks, one and all, wherever you listen. We appreciate it. There is a website that someone put together. Make sure I have my information correct here. This Cleveland Tips website, have you gone to this?
Mm-mm.
Help local service industry workers during the shutdown. I think Saucy Brewworks might have put this together. The virtual tip jar for Cleveland. You go to clevelandtips.com and you'll get randomly paired with a service worker who has put themselves in the database. And so there are a variety of people who work at local restaurants, and you can either donate to them or you can donate to a bar or restaurant that you like.
Got it.
So, you know, for people, a lot of people hit the hardest in the service industry. The owners of Saucy Brewworks have pledged to match the first $5,000 of tips.
Oh, very cool.
Given to their employees. So there are a lot of options for you. If you go to alancockshow.com and use the keyword food, I think we're still keeping a list of local establishments that are doing delivery and takeout.
I know that the Winking Lizard is also taking their carryout tips. So if you order any carryout or pick up from them, if you leave a tip on it, they're dividing that up amongst their employees as well.
There you go.
Is that the norm?
No, normally if the restaurant's open, it goes to the hostess.
Yeah.
But this, any delivery they're going is like over 1,000 employees, and that's a company I used to work for. My sister used to work there. My whole family's worked for that company, so I'm dead serious. Both my sisters, myself, and my cousin were employed by that.
At the same time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Three of us in the same store.
Oh my gosh, they probably got you damn Santoras.
Right.
Oh, in the same location.
Three of us were, but very briefly, and then we kind of split up after that. But yeah, they're taking all those tips and splitting them up amongst the employees as well. So there's a lot of people out there that are doing some really awesome things.
That's the one where you have to wear the kilt.
No. The Winking Lizard?
That was the tilted kilt that was here for a cup of coffee downtown.
We had to wear tails.
Oh. Okay.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
They let their skin get all dried out.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're able to, don't be stingy when you're tipping on carryout.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a good tipper, but I've upped my game when we've been doing carryout.
Same here.
Yeah. I've been tipping well.
That's a good way to do it, because you walk in and there's like one person behind the bar who's doling out the orders. The owner's usually at the end of the bar drowning his sorrows in something because he's like, I can't believe this is what it's come to.
Yeah, there's like two people in the back cooking, one person getting the food together. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're bare bones.
Yeah. Invariably, the owner will be talking to a vendor who's trying to let him down softly on why they got to pull out. So Cleveland Tips. What else? Oh, Bill sent me a thing, What's Your Bias, that I thought was kind of interesting. You sent me What's Your Bias, yeah?
Yeah, I sent you that, and I sent it to Mary last night, and I went through the whole thing with my girlfriend last night. I think these are incredibly interesting, because they definitely explain a lot of different people, and a lot of people have several different biases.
I read some of those, too, and I was like, I know several people that have this, just like the cost of the sunken fallacy one.
I was kind of trying to nail myself down in this, and I'm still not sure.
You want me to do it for you?
Which one am I?
Did you already take notes on all of us?
No, I just making a little joke.
Which one am I?
I think. Let me see.
There was one that I read that I thought. You immediately.
Yeah. Oh yeah, let me go through these. So, this thing is to determine what kind of bias you have. When it comes to, I guess, anything, human minds are associative in nature, so the order in which we receive information helps determine the course of our judgments and perceptions. So there's anchoring, right? This gets a little heady, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anchoring, the first thing you judge influences your judgment of all that follows. So that would your bias would be you were biased in anchoring, right? You judge one thing, and that kind of... It's like a trickle-down effect, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the sunk cost fallacy. That's the
this
one.
This one's me.
This is you?
I definitely have this.
You irrationally cling to things that have already cost you something. You're like, I'm already invested in this. I'm not letting it go. Is that what that is?
I'm better about it now, but it's definitely something that has been in my past. Like, in a huge way of like what my decision-making process was. I'm like, okay, I put time into this. I have to do this now.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm not letting go of it because I've already invested time or money or whatever.
Yeah, Poundcake was saying he's that too.
You're the sunk cost fallacy?
He's on the phone right now.
But okay.
Yeah, I could see that being him.
The availability heuristic.
I'll share these on Twitter if people want to go through them.
Your judgments are influenced by what springs most easily to mind. How recent your memories are make them seem more relevant. The curse of knowledge is another one. Once you understand something, you presume it to be obvious to everyone.
I sent this one to Mary today.
Yeah.
You think that's what she is?
Sometimes. I can be that way.
Really?
With a very specific situation today that I don't need to talk about, but that was what would happen. Well, when it's like, oh, it seems so obvious to you because you know about it, or you have intricate knowledge of a certain subject, or you're like, how does everybody not know this?
Huh.
I can see that being something that you, as this is not a teaching hospital, would fall into that category.
No, that doesn't mean that I assume that people know. It just means it's not my job to teach you. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be here, keep up.
Yeah, but I'm not applying this one to you, but I think the curse of knowledge one is like a lot of people have experience in a certain field that gives them this experience where they go, okay, I know all this, and then they assume that other people would know that, but they don't.
There are so many obvious things that are not obvious to me that I would never apply that to someone else.
Right.
Yeah.
The next one is confirmation bias.
Everybody does what that is. Everybody does this, too. Yeah.
You favor things that conform to your existing beliefs.
Especially nowadays with the internet.
The Dunning-Kruger effect, that's a fun one, too. The more you know, the less confident you're likely to be.
Well,
it goes the other way, where really stupid people are convinced that they're geniuses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The current commander-in-chief is Project X right now for the Dunning-Kruger effect.
When I read this one, I felt like I have it both ways, because like something that I'm very confident, or something that I know a lot about, like comedy, I don't feel super confident in it, or I'm always like analyzing my set, or I'm coming off like, oh, I could have done this, and this better. But on the opposite effect, anything that is remotely athletic, I assume I'm going to be good at.
Oh, really?
Dead serious.
Oh, that's funny.
If people are like, hey, we're going to try, like,
and the then first we played Papa Shot, and you were wrong.
Well, but no, I know I'm terrible at basketball. But like things like when I went axe throwing for the first time, I was like, oh, I'll probably be good at this. Or like we were talking about Top Golf. I've never played golf a day in my life. I don't know about form or anything like that, but I'm like, yeah, I probably
will
be
all right.
See,
I'm the opposite when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
If I'm accidentally good, it's gravy, but I'm terrified usually in any situation like that.
The one after that is belief bias.
If a conclusion supports your existing beliefs, you'll rationalize anything that supports it. Okay, so it's kind of adjacent to confirmation bias.
Which, and also self-serving bias, kind of the same one.
Self-serving bias, you believe your failures are due to external factors, but you're responsible for your successes.
I know a lot of people like that.
This was one of the only ones that I was like, I know that's not me 100%.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because I blame myself for everything.
It's coming.
The last one? The backfire effect?
When
some aspect of your core beliefs is challenged, it can cause you to believe even more strongly?
No. There's more than that. They keep going.
Oh,
there's 19
more images. Jesus. Yeah. Oh, I thought those were all. Oh,
I only read the first
one. Which one am I? I'm not going to go through all these.
Let's see. Groupthink, not you.
No.
Negativity bias.
That's the one that I read that I thought was you.
You allow negative things to disproportionately influence your thinking?
You're basically...
That's not me.
No, you think that things are going to be more negative than they are.
Negative right there. See?
No, I don't think things are going to be more negative than they are. I usually just use past patterns. You know, past performance could sometimes be indicative of future success. Declinism, you remember the past is better than it was, and expect the future to be worse than it will likely be.
I know a lot of people like that, too.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure we probably all know people along you. The framing effect, you allow yourself to be unduly influenced by context and delivery.
This is just stand-up comedy.
Right? Seriously.
That is exactly what you're doing. You're just framing everything to get that result that you want.
The fundamental attribution error. You judge others on their character, but yourself on the situation.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. That is a very interesting one.
Everybody does that.
If you haven't had a good night's sleep, you know why you're being a bit slow. But if you observe someone else being slow, you don't have such knowledge, and so you just might presume them to be a slow person.
I have done that.
I think everybody does that.
I found mine. I know which one
so
I am.
So it's Pound Cake. This whole time it's been Pound Cake's pillow.
Oh, that's
might have been.
No, I was saying I'm the next one.
The halo effect?
The halo effect.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely the halo effect.
I was like, oh, my God, I feel attacked. I had to clutch my pearls.
The halo effect, how much you like someone or how attractive they are influences your other judgments of them.
This is so true for everybody, though.
I think it is.
If you don't like somebody, I mean, you've seen the memes where, like, why does this bitch got a cough like that? You know what I mean? Where every little thing already annoys you.
That's why this, I mean, boy, they, I feel like they could have pared these down.
They could have.
Yeah. But.
See, the optimism bias, I think, is me, too.
You overestimate the likelihood of positive outcomes.
Where I'm like, things aren't going to be that bad. Or, I got to tell you, I'm not a doomsday person.
I've tried. I wouldn't necessarily call myself glass half full, but I try to be more that way. But because I don't know that there's a downside to optimism, really.
There isn't.
You can be, you're going to be disappointed a lot. It doesn't mean that you're naive. But there's really no downside to hoping things work out well.
You maybe know? You're the bystander effect. You presume someone else was going to do something in case of an emergency.
But I know
I didn't make it all the way this far.
The sunk cost of fallacy. I know so many people that get married just because they want someone. They're like, it doesn't matter if they're happy. It doesn't matter if they're financially set. They just don't want to be alone. They think they can't do any better. They invested time and energy into something, and then they're like, well, it's too late to pull the trigger now. Like, you know, we got time invested. It's, they don't know cutting
settling
your losses.
Down, yeah.
They don't know cutting your losses and moving on. They're like, well, I put
you're
my
also,
time in.
You're also the spotlight effect.
Yeah.
Me?
Yes, you overestimate how much people notice how you look and act.
I think this is all of us to a degree.
No.
You don't think that?
Not compared to pound cake.
Not compared to pound cake, but you can't pound cake. You have to see how it influences you.
I don't know if this one's that much. I mean,
I don't think anybody's ever looking at me.
Cognizant of what I put out there, but if I'm out in public, I don't think people are looking at me. If I'm just at the grocery store.
But it doesn't just count public. It means, like, on social media and all these different
things.
Yeah,
you guys don't understand because you guys don't have paparazzi following you constantly.
That's true.
Sick of it.
Good point.
Alan,
we're
I
not
think
living.
You're...
Reactance
yes,
seems, yeah.
That's what I was just about to say. That's you.
You'd rather do the opposite of what someone is trying to make you do.
I read that one last night. My girlfriend read it and she goes, this one's you. And I was like, no, it's not.
Blind conformity is far from an ideal way to approach things, but neither is being a knee-jerk contrarian. Mm-hmm. I've eased up on that pedal, though, a little bit, though.
Knee-jerk contrarian really got her giggling. That's a really funny phrase.
Knee-jerk contrarian. Yeah. So there's a lot to go with.
I tweeted these out at Bill Squire if you want to look through them all.
Cognitive biases.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're very
interesting. Which one are you? And you'll probably be, we're all a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in group bias, I think this is another one that we all do.
It's America.
Yeah.
All of America.
Well, this is cliques.
Yeah.
This is what cliques are fundamentally. But everybody's like that.
I was considered a floater. I never belonged to like one group.
Yeah, but at the same time, if there's someone who is outside of your group, now.
Well, they were ugly, like, so that went into another...
Back to the halo effect.
Yeah, so that doesn't count.
Let me ask you this, though. Was there a group that you would have liked to have been more in? I mean, a lot of people are floaters because they don't have any choice. Retrospectively, they'll call themselves floaters, but it's basically because no group wanted to claim them.
No, I mean, that I'm sure...
Was there one that you would have liked to have been a part of?
No, because all of them seemed really lame to me, and it was more... I was more self-righteous. I was like, I don't
wait,
belong
so
to
were
these
a,
people.
You were a part of a bunch of lame groups?
No,
he was
I
never
at,
a part of any of them.
I looked at all of them as equally lame.
I see.
I didn't want to go because the jocks were obviously the group that everyone wants to be a part of because they're like the cool kids or whatever, but I didn't want to sit there and have them talk about sports constantly. I just wanted to sit with hot guys. So I
you really had to make a sacrifice.
Yeah, I had no interest,
saying.
So I would sit there for a little bit, and once they start cracking jokes about, you know, getting pee and doing all that stuff, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go see what the band geeks are doing, and then I'll get over there and they're talking about like their tuba, and I'm like, all right, gonna move.
I just put my phone back on the charger. Which one is it where it's like if something proves what you already you believe it even more?
Confirmation bias?
No. It was another
belief
one.
Belief bias.
Maybe. It was one of those that I was reading that reminded me of mine and your argument the other day about religion. That's when I was like, oh, this is Alan. Like when one little thing, if you're arguing something, if one little thing proves it, then you're like, you just proved my point! Like you like dig into it harder.
Self-serving bias or belief bias?
Maybe.
If a conclusion supports your existing beliefs, you'll rationalize anything that supports
that
it.
That one.
Yeah, that's
really?
Belief
that
bias.
Was, that
I'm not,
was the
I'm
one.
Not going to rationalize anything.
I think that you do, though.
No, not anything.
No, but no. Okay,
that's what that says. Yeah, you'll rationalize anything.
But like, you'll pick more nitpicky.
Well, those are called details.
Yeah,
and you need those to buttress any argument. And you just had fewer of them than I did.
So that's the Barnum effect, Alan. Exactly. Yeah.
that's the square peg in a round hole type situation.
Now, what I want to use these for is I'm just going to have them all saved on my phone, and anytime I'm in an argument with someone, I'll just send them whatever bias they're using.
You'll be like, Barnum effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Barnum effect. You see personal specifics in vague statements. Wait.
That's me. This one is me big time.
You see personal specifics in vague statements by filling in the gaps.
Astrology.
Like reading, I was reading your horoscope. Yes. I was just going
to
say that.
That's me. So it's like when you get a fortune cookie and it's like, writing is the gateway to the soul. It's like, I was meant to be a comedian. See? The fortune cookie said it. You know?
Filling in the gaps. Yeah.
That's 100%. I do that really, really
People
bad.
Were howling at me. When I posted on
that Chinese restaurant, really knew me.
They get it.
Yeah,
people were howling at me when I posted on Instagram. I was like, "If you're an Aries, you'll be staying at home. If you're a Taurus, you'll be staying your ass at home." They're like, "Oh my gosh, that's so true."
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
Good.
I talked to you Friday about the people tipping at the restaurants.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd tell you a story about yesterday. The first two customers of the day, they come in. They are completely hammered, 7 o'clock in the morning. This guy, he's saying they're brothers, and he's saying, you know, he's a deacon, and he's saying all these prayers for us, and Lord help you guys, and God has you. Thank you for working here. And they leave us a $24 tip in the jar.
Was that good?
So, that's very good.
Yeah, okay.
We split tips, and at that time there was only two employees.
Yeah.
So after that, every time there's a shift change, we, you know, split up the jar. So the whole rest of the day, remember that was $12 a piece we got. I walked out of there with $13.
Oh, no.
That hurts. That's no good. No bueno.
You can't do that.
Now, did you guys have business? Like, were you guys booming, or was it just it was a slow day and you guys didn't get tips because no one was coming in or ordering?
It's been fairly steady throughout the day, but every day has been a lot slower than usual just because of only carry out.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, God bless you for working there.
Thank you. Thank you guys for...
It's got the imprimatur from Hunky.
...still being here because it gets me through the rest of my day.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there you go.
And just cook the food better, and then you'll get better tips.
Cook the food better.
They're not even eating it, though. They're only picking it up. They haven't even gotten into the food yet.
Yeah. And bring your own pen, by the way. When they give you the slip, right? You put in your card and the thing.
I didn't think about that.
And usually the person working there is wearing gloves. But I always bring my own pen. Because I don't use the pen that they've been using or whatever, you know?
I just write with blood.
Oh, there you go.
Like Sideshow Bob.
What could go wrong with that?
At Giant Eagle, they put a ban back on your bring. You can't bring your own bags in anymore.
That's right.
They brought back plastic bags, which they're like, well, I guess this is better
screw
than people
the
bring. Well, better than people bringing coronavirus into the store so from their home.
And they started putting up like pawn shop bulletproof plastic too in between the person and you.
Yeah. At Target, I went there and they were like, okay. Put your stuff on the belt, and then you stand behind the belt while the person rings it out, and then they step away when you go to put your card in. Yeah. So they're like taking it really seriously.
Well, you might as well. Sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, these are people who are like still working. And,
I hadn't bought anything. I mean, the grocery store, but I didn't have that distancing like Target did. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Precautions, man.
Sure.
I'm not mad at it. Yeah. It's just shocking
it's just
me a little bit.
Interesting to see.
When you see it implemented,
you're like, this is different, and this is, but like, you appreciate it too.
It honestly felt like a lot. Like, my initial reaction was like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, I was a little annoyed
by
it.
What bias is that?
The inconvenience bias? Which one's that? I was a little, but then
like,
once
everyone's a problem but me bias?
But then once you actually think about it, I'm like, oh no, this is the smartest way to do this. It's just like,
that's reactance bias.
Because
you'd rather do the opposite of what they're trying to make you do.
No, I would rather do the opposite. I'm just like, well, this seems excessive.
It was shocking.
It seemed excessive, is what it felt like.
All the texters are laughing at me because I said everyone knows what confirmation bias is. But I feel like over the past 3 years, that has, with the division politically, confirmation bias feels like the phrase you've seen a lot of.
Yeah.
So that's why I said that. But you're right. It's funny.
Did we go over what that was, or did we skip right past it?
No, confirmation bias is you'll take what you already believe to fit into whatever you... What is it, Bill? I mean, I'm killing it here.
It's like the third one.
Yeah. Because they're alphabetical here, right? Or no?
No, I think it's just probably most popular.
Anybody know? Everybody knows what it is,
Confirmation bias is you favor things that confirm your existing beliefs.
So what you already believe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of listening to the other side. Mm-hmm.
Well, but again, even if you listen to the other side, there are like fundamental things that you just don't believe, you know? Even though, well, I'm not even going to go down that road.
Think of your ideas and beliefs as software you're actively trying to find problems with rather than things to be defended. The first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool.
I liked that a lot. Yeah. When it said, think of it as things you're trying to improve rather than defend, I'm like, oh, man, everybody did that.
Yeah, these are really interesting, and it gives you a good look at how you, like, why you get defensive about some things and why you believe things a certain way, and it's really interesting. I really enjoyed these.
Yeah.
I got some other ones, too, for another day.
Okay.
The fallacies, logical fallacies.
Yeah.
Fallacy? Like... Yeah. Like
a phallus.
No.
Oh, yeah. I was like phallic? Like,
yeah, a phallus, like a fallacy.
Is fallacy the plural of phallic?
That's fallacy.
Ah, yeah. Sorry.
Look at all these fallacy in here. Poundcake's going to be so pleased.
Are you trying to make us all uncomfortable? Gross, it's weird, it's not right, it's not cool.
And there's plenty more where that came from. Back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
On Saturday Night Live for the first time in a long, long time.
The Monkees.
This is from 1979.
This sounds familiar. It sounds like I should know it.
It's been, that's why I asked. It's been in a lot of things, I think. It's called Life During Wartime. And it is the Talking Heads.
Talking Heads. You guys have tried to get me to listen to them a couple times.
We played them. I don't know if we...
You did.
You don't like this, though.
No, you've shown this to me in the office before.
Yeah. Just a... I think I did when we talked about it like a week ago.
Yeah,
a week or two ago.
Two weeks ago, yeah, we played this.
Yep.
So not the Doobie Brothers.
No. This ain't the Doobies.
They also.
This ain't no Mud Club or CBGB. We dress like students. We dress like housewives. You ever heard the song, Poundcake?
No.
Never heard the song.
No. All right.
Gotcha. Anyway. I thought Life During Wartime sounded somewhat appropriate. Yeah. And I love the song, too. Fear of Music is the Talking Heads album from which that one's pulled.
I wonder how many albums are going to be made during this coronavirus outbreak.
None. They can't go. Well, unless they have an in-home studio.
Well, I'm just saying people are writing songs.
There's people are dropping music.
There's going to be albums dedicated. You're like, this was the hardest time of my life.
They just put it right to the streamers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose you could.
This is not the hardest time of my life.
For some people, like...
Staying at home is the hardest time of your life?
You're not sick. What if their family member got
sick?
I know
that.
We haven't hit the real shrimp yet, either.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I got $1,000 about 6 minutes from now, about 30 past most hours here on MMS for the next few weeks, for the foreseeable future. There's going to be plenty of chances for you to get $1,000 to use however you need it. First chance for you to win is 7:30 during RMG. And then 9:30 p.m. with Corey Roddick. So almost every hour throughout the day, you can win some money there. Marijuana sales are through the roof. And in many states, it is being designated as essential. A lot of people are pointing out that throughout the coronavirus crisis, it is exactly showing just that, how essential and mainstream marijuana is now. Because it's kind of arrived at the forefront of the discussion on public health policy, right when there are a lot of discussions, and there will continue to be now even more and more discussions on it. So more governors in state after state are calling, because I mentioned this because a guy living in Boston texted me and said that they were shutting down recreational dispensaries. The medical ones are still open, but they're shutting down the recreational ones. But a lot of states, and when we got that letter that told us we were essential, marijuana dispensaries were on that list in Ohio, saying this is an essential operation that can stay open. So you might not be able to go bowling.
You can. You can go bowling.
Spark it up. Yep. But you can still, you know, get yourself some weed. Strike! There you go. So, yeah, they're trying to make sure that, they're trying to make sure that medical marijuana patients have access to what they need. And so, you know, I feel like in the grand scheme of things, it took a long time to get there, but pot really turned a corner over the last few years. For as long as people were pushing and trying to get it legislated so that it would be legal, it really all kind of came at once.
Yeah, when they see how much money it makes,
then
they go, oh, but
it's always going to make money.
That's right. Right, they always knew how much. They had to get over that like fake Puritanism that they had for a long time.
It was
time.
Priorities. I think there was other. There was bigger fish to fry. I think once gay marriage got legal, I think the next civil thing...
Got legal. I like that. It's shorthand. Once that got legal, tell you what.
I honestly believe that I think people were like, we can't, you know, argue over, you know, marijuana or mental health when there's people that are still having their rights infringed upon. Like, you know,
I don't even think it's that altruistic. I think it's as simple as when grandma and grandpa started smoking weed for their cataracts, that's when it started to change. Because old people vote. And when your grandparents started to be cool with pot because they needed it or it was being offered to them, that's when that those dominoes started to fall.
But generationally, it's been vilified by, like... Yeah, I would say like the octogenarians are probably still not as into pot, but if you get people that are like boomers, are pretty cool with pot.
They've always been cool. They grow their own.
Yeah, they grow their own, but they also like grew up in a time where pot was just something that, you know, you go to a concert, you're into classic rock and all that stuff. You're going to smoke some pot maybe.
Yeah, but those are the people that were smoking pot. A lot of boomers did what a lot of people do when they get older, where they turned a corner and got really conservative. So there are a lot of boomers that back in the day were like, yeah, man, right on. And then the 80s came through and the 90s came through. And they're checking their 401ks and all that. And they're like, I don't want some hippie smoking pot around me. You know, you turn that corner.
There was a dude at one of the first bars I worked at where he was a middle-aged white guy, had a wife, couple kids. And he would always tip me in a joint. Like that was, he would grow his own stuff and he would make it. And this was probably at least 8 years ago. And that was what he did, and that's who he was. He would tip everybody in weed, and we're like, good. It was different. Wasn't good.
But when you saw him come in, you're like, man, I got something.
There. Right. Something to smoke, you know?
Smoke weed every day.
But he was, I mean, of that generation.
Yeah.
Every day. So much weed to
smoke. Smoke weed every day.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Like, so much. The Wake and Bakers, I don't know how people do
I could,
that.
Well, I guess you build up an immunity to some degree, but like I couldn't tell you the last time I smoked. Could not tell you.
When I was in Vegas, that's the last time I smoked.
In Portland, I think.
Because my brother got some, or someone, had some
Someone in my immediate vicinity.
Yeah.
No, you and I did.
When did we do that?
We went out. We did.
I
don't want to say it, yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed.
You can say it,
You're allowed to say it.
We went and saw Mean Girls at Playhouse Square.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, is
yeah, there you go.
No, I don't care. Talk about that? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if it was like affiliated.
Okay,
or
so yeah, that was the last time I smoked it.
So that was like February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were probably a lot of people that smoked just to get through that stupid show.
It was a great show.
I'm just trolling you now.
Don't you?
What bias are you using right now?
Bias.
Both fell for it. I'm using trolling bias is what I'm using.
That was a perfect time to smoke too, because there was like tacos, and then we got there, and I knew all the lines. I was ready.
It was a really fun show.
Yeah.
I honestly think I like that the live show more than the movie. by like a lot.
Well, and they updated it too.
Yeah.
I was reading a thing about how the coronavirus, it's affecting convenience store owners in the sense that people are turning them into gambling parlors.
Oh, yeah.
And people who own these are like, there's been conversations about suspending the lottery because people are just piling into convenience stores. The shelves might be empty, but there's people just standing around doing scratchers or playing the lottery. And so there have been some people in that community who are petitioning the Ohio Lottery Commission to temporarily suspend the lottery. Because they're like, it's not really an essential purchase, you know?
It's true.
You play of your own free will. You don't need to do it. A lot of people call it a regressive tax because they say that it focuses on poor people, whatever. I think those are the... I never really bought that because I think it's those are the people most likely to play it for obvious reasons. But no one's forcing you to play the lottery.
Yeah, but if you have money, the dream of winning $500 on a scratch-off is not a big deal.
Right, that's a dream. But what I'm saying is, like, when they call it a regressive tax, I'm like, no one's forcing people that are already in dire financial straits to put what little money they have on a whim, on a ticket, like your goddamn Charlie Bucket. So, you know. So there are some people who are like, well, should we suspend? And I got to tell you, I couldn't help but think about whoever was in that studio on West 6th Street during our St. Patty's Day bar crawl.
He needs his job, man.
When we were all peering in, faces to the glass. Yeah, we're all hammered.
Pay four.
He didn't even pay us. Paid us dust.
No, because he's used to it. He's used to people drunk walking. You're doing a live lottery thing on West 6th Street.
I was going to say, on the Strip.
Yeah.
Like, why would they have that studio there? Like, just at least you could have a studio there, but the window. Like,
give
why
people something to look
window?
At. Or put it on the second floor.
Yeah.
People banging on the glass.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I wonder how many,
a pro, though. He knows what he's doing.
I wonder how many boobs he's seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, girls walk through like,
drunk chicks.
I feel like there is a huge decline in women showing their boobs compared to what it used to be.
Are you just not going out as much?
No, but I feel like it's because of camera phones and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're afraid now.
Yeah, because everyone's
you can't do it without being filmed.
In like 2005, if you showed your boobs and someone got like a grainy camera phone picture of you, it didn't matter. But like now, someone be like, oh, yeah, that's her.
And people will lose their jobs.
They'll know exactly who it is.
I don't think I've ever flashed.
Ever? Really?
Like in a public setting. Of all the things I've done drunk, I don't know that I've ever pulled my boobs out. But I think it's because I was always fat.
You were
so
flat,
I didn't want to have to pull my belly out
in
order to show my boobs.
You didn't do it down
why
below?
Why didn't you pull your shirt down?
Yeah. I've never done that.
Yeah, I see. I know girls that do that.
If I was skinny, I would, probably.
Yeah, because then you can just let the slops rest on your belly.
They just flop out.
Yeah. The old slop plop.
Slop and plop.
Yeah. Like, what are those, udders?
Yes, I think about, like, Mardi Gras all the time. Like, do people still get beads by flashing? How do those girls? I think there are people
that do it, but I don't think it's the same as it used to be. I think people are more modest about that.
Women are more empowered now too, where they're just like, "I'm not going to show you my boobs. Give me the beads.
I don't have to." Yeah. But also, women who do that, boy, they're proud of it.
They are very,
very proud of the fact that
if you're a woman that does that, submit to be one of the Instagram hotties. Alan Cox Show Instagram hotties. Send me an email, bill@alancoxshow.com.
No, Poundcake, I'm not talking about people who have invested in their chested. I'm saying, like, you know, women who did just got what the good Lord gave them, right? And they're like, yeah! Like,
if
you spent the money, then you should show them off. I mean, that is an investment. But it's like the women who, you know, they'll have a ton of beads and be like, guess how I got them? I'm like, oh, I know how you got them.
We know, Cheryl. We get it.
Yeah. Alan, do you guys need some weed? I have too much. Boy, there's a flex.
Hey.
Look at that.
Come on, let us smoke a pot.
Yeah. let's do a pot. We want to do a pot.
I'm going to try to get my sister to eat a pot tonight. I don't think she'll do it, but
she's got to go home to two kids.
Yeah, but she'll be with me. It only lasts an hour and a half.
Oh.
I love how I'm so sick of you and your, like, timeline.
Dude, I live my life on timeline.
It's science.
I know
exactly when it's going to hit you. Yeah.
Was I right or was I right?
She
when I texted
right,
you
she,
the schedule.
She's annoying about it because she'll literally, like... She's like, all right, you take this right now. You'll be high by 8:30. You'll be done by 9:35.
You're annoyed by that? I like that.
Thank you.
I like that a lot.
If you didn't look at the clock at 8:35 and be like, this bitch is right. This bitch is so right.
They're like, I want to be mad at you, but I'm really high right now, so I can't be mad.
No, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, because that way you can tell other people, you're like, the next 90 minutes, do not hit me up.
Right. I got to sit here.
I'm going to be sailing.
It's literally right as I'm on my decline, I get a text message, bing. How you feeling? I'm like, God damn it, Mary. You try to relax. I'm on my
dial. I hadn't heard from you all night, and I was like, I should check in.
It's like, bing. How you doing?
How you feeling over there?
I just imagine her high ponytail over there like, yes.
That's what happens.
Are my services?
Services required.
Yeah.
Are you high?
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's high.
Madam Mary Jane.
Hell yeah.
The Alan Cox Show After Hours line, you can dial it in anytime if you're not able to join us live. 216-986-8903.
Hey, Alan. My name is Andrew. I'm a podcast listener. You guys were talking about gyms being forced into speakeasies and then those gyms needing a password to get in. So I think a really good password would be Brovid19. I'm incredibly lonely, and I will see myself out now.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm incredibly lonely. And I came up with Brovid19, which I love, by
the
way.
That's hilarious.
If you're running a gym out of a speakeasy because everything's closed, they're like, what's a password? Brovid19.
Oh, God.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Because bros would be at the gym. Right?
Oh, okay.
I didn't have to explain that to you.
You did.
I did?
You did.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was like an inside joke that I didn't get. Because I'm stupid.
Okay.
Right.
Hey, Drumsu didn't call us on her birthday, so did she get the Rona?
Oh, you know, she did call us on her. No, she called us before her birthday.
She called us before her birthday and said, she said she wasn't feeling well. And that's why she wanted to call before her birthday, and then she never called us back.
And you know her immune system is shot.
What are you doing over there?
I got a strawberry in my shirt.
She's pulling out her sloppers. What do you mean, Alan?
No, I don't see anything.
I must have dropped a piece of strawberry.
When did you eat a strawberry?
In the break. You watched me. I said, do you want some strawberries and chocolate? And you said, no, I have gummy bears.
I just heard chocolate and saw you eat chocolate. I didn't hear anything about
strawberries right next to it, and I was popping a strawberry in, eating a bite of chocolate.
It's like working with Kathy.
Who's Kathy?
Chocolate.
I don't know what that is.
You don't have to make it funny. Okay, so you've got strawberry on your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Was it because of this whole boobs conversation that you just looked down?
Yeah.
And then probably. You go, oh, I got some straw. Otherwise, you would have gone the remainder of the show.
Move a little bit to the right so people can see
the strawberry. Okay. I don't see it.
There's a line. It's a line.
I
right
believe
there.
You. I'm just saying that your gray is heathered enough where I don't see.
Yeah.
Where you're probably checking it from a different angle, too. Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. Still don't see it. Don't
you
see it.
Keep putting the microphone
matter.
In the way.
I know what I'm doing. Here, let me take my shirt off, and then maybe you can see it better. If I
please
can.
Don't. it's okay.
Live stream
just jumped up 500 viewers. Yeah.
I shared it on my Instagram, Radio Cody B.
Play off your strawberry and chocolate. I did not hear you mention anything about strawberries.
I had a whole thing of strawberries.
I believe you. Again, I believe you. I just walked in and saw you breaking a big bar of chocolate.
Into pieces so I could
and then
eat
you mentioned,
piece of chocolate.
You,
bite
you
of
said,
strawberry.
You want a piece of chocolate? I said, no, thank
Why
you.
Why didn't you put the chocolates in the microwave and then you could dip the strawberry in the chocolate?
Because I didn't think of that. And also they had almonds in them. The only chocolate bar in the vending machine was an almond Hershey's.
Crampy almonds over here.
Crampy almonds still today. Did you see my
hanging
tweet?
Hanging out. No. You're tweeting about your period?
Yes. Today I had to Google period cramps are horny because I didn't know what it
you
was.
Get
that's
cramps
a new
when
game.
You get horny?
Well, when you get horny, you get all.
Yeah.
Yes,
you get
kind of.
Horny when you get your period.
You're not. Well, yeah, and it can be like when you're like super horned up, it doesn't feel like cramps, but there's definitely you're like something's got to happen.
Something's moving.
And then that's where I was like, what is going on? If this is still period cramps, this has been the worst period of my life.
But you're just horny?
And Google said it could be either.
Their periods attract bears. The bears can smell the menstruation.
So you got no.
Probably both, right?
Yeah, it's. I'm sure it's both.
You got no answer from Google.
It's both.
Girls are you're over on a month period. Right now.
I'm coming up on 2 months.
Yeah.
How heavy is the biggest load?
After 2 months, it's going to be big.
That is gross.
216-578-1007 or 800-348-1007. You want to text me, 35192. Next shot for you to text another number. Get yourself $1,000. It's coming up around 5:30. And then 6:30, right before the Corey Roddick Experience, plenty of chances throughout the day for you to grab yourself some much-needed cash. Alan, what, in your personal opinion, do you expect over the next weeks or months for the reopening of everything? I have no clue. I have no idea. This new stimulus bill that they passed, the Democrats held out for a better bill than what the other side was offering. Because the other side was basically looking to bail out companies. And so the new stimulus bill, just one of many things that are going to be good, is it's going to give unemployed workers an extra $600 a week.
Wow.
Which is huge.
That's, yeah.
So that if you get most of your information from right-wing talk radio over the past couple of days, they were talking about the Democrats are asking for all kinds of crazy things. Yeah, all kinds of crazy things. Mm-hmm. From tens of hundreds of thousands of people are out of work. So they negotiate a big bump in unemployment insurance. This was about the third or fourth pass at this, by the way, too. And it's in the neighborhood of $2 trillion.
Where's that money going to come from?
It's going to come from a variety of sources. I'm sure they'll pull back. I mean, a lot of these are loans that will eventually be paid back later on. There is going to be some corporate money that's going to go to some of these companies. My understanding is that there was a provision in this bill that specifically excludes the Trump family.
Mm-hmm.
Because he owns a lot of hotels. You'll notice that he really did a full 180 on this whole social distancing thing when he realized how much money he was losing from having his clubs, golf clubs, shut down. That's his primary concern. So I think once someone got that information to him, he was like, oh, we got to let people get out there again. He did a disastrous town hall again, full of all kinds of nonsense. And it was him and then the Surgeon General, and they were all seated 6 feet away from each other. And then there was a guy from Fox News that was interviewing Trump. So it was Trump. It was one of the female, that Dr. Bixler, whatever her name is, Kim Burks, whatever, female scientist. And I think Pence was there. And then the Surgeon General. You know, all the people for a while that were leaving the White House were writing books. And I don't care. I don't care what Sean Spicer has to say. None of those people. Omarosa, who cares?
Right, I just want to see him dance.
I want to read the books that these scientists will eventually write.
Trying to give them information.
That's putting it kindly.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the Surgeon General. He was talking about, you know, next moves and best practices.
We will assess at the end of the 14 days and we'll figure out the most appropriate thing to do. And based on my experience in the task force so far, the president will make an appropriate decision based on all the data.
There you go. Now, there is absolutely no evidence or data, if you will, to support the theory that the president will use appropriate data to make his decisions. But the Surgeon General's got to say that, right? These people are on camera looking like when they used to kidnap a journalist and put him in a Taliban video, making him read stuff. That's what these scientists look like. There's like...
I have to say this.
He looks desperate. It's really... he probably is desperate, but it's really sad.
What's his job normally, the Surgeon General? He's got a warning on cigarettes. I was going to say. Cigarettes, and it's like, hey, don't do this if you're pregnant or whatever. Yeah.
Surgeon General is like the Attorney General's nation's leading law enforcement officer, allegedly. And the Surgeon General is the country's leading medical professional. But again, he's pulling these people from God knows where. So I don't know. This current guy seems to be...
Yeah, normal.
Yeah, you know.
Are they like doctors beforehand?
Yeah, they're doctors.
So they're a doctor, and then they're like a hospital administrator, and then they become a Surgeon General?
I don't know if there's a climb, you know.
Like lawyer, judge, Supreme Court?
Yeah.
That's how it goes, right?
It's cop, lawyer, judge, Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
Cop, lawyer, judge.
And then before that is criminal.
Court of Appeals.
Yeah, you can be a criminal through the whole process.
That's true.
Common Peas Court that we were talking about the other day.
I had peas for dinner last night.
Hey!
Common peas at that.
Common peas.
No uncommon peas on my plate.
Right. So then they talked to the female scientist.
Why do you got to keep saying female?
Because the Dr. David Fauci is the male scientist.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't part of this.
Well, you never call him male scientist.
I do. All the time. I go, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the male scientist. Mm-hmm.
They disappeared him.
Dr. Kim. No, he's still around.
I mean, he is Dr. Stuff. Penis.
I'm Dr. Penis. They asked, the Fox News host asked this doctor, what is the reason for such an incredible spike in New York City in COVID-19?
Part of it is density. Part of it is the spread that may have happened on metal surfaces, like in the subway. Part of it may be a large number of people came back after Christmas from Asia that didn't get caught up in the closure.
You blame the governor for that?
And part of it could be the Europeans who have come back subsequently.
I just like how she plays past.
She's like, I'm not doing this with
you, child. Yeah.
You blame the governor?
She's like, shut up. And let me tell people facts and information, all right? You're making me sit here. I wish I could be farther than 6 feet away from you. I'd love to be farther from you. So they're talking about, you know, he doesn't want to shut anything down. He doesn't want things shut down anymore.
He wants to start everything back
start
up.
Start everything back up,
everybody.
Again.
Open the floodgates.
In church on Easter Sunday.
Oh, Easter is very important. He's like, Easter's a special day. He's a special holiday. It's very
important.
Ask him
what Easter represents. He has no idea.
Ask him if he knows when Easter is. I guarantee he doesn't even know when it is. He's like, it's in springtime. And, you know.
Jesus, he moved a rock. It was a very big rock. It was a heavy rock that Jesus moved.
It's a great rock. He loved that rock.
The kids love this bunny. It's the best bunny in all the land. And they love those eggs. It's very important about those eggs.
The eggs of the Easter bunny. And
we have them every year. They come out to the White House lawn. I've seen them myself. I put the eggs down myself.
Hey, by the way, no joke. Peeps.
Yeah.
In awful timing, Peeps are shutting down production because of COVID-19.
Yeah. At least there's some good that came out of it.
I gotta go get some. I'll go get us some, Alan. Don't you fret. I'll pick us up some Peeps.
I knew this would make 50% of this show happy. After March 25th, not a single Peep will be made.
Yay.
The candy manufacturer who makes Peeps announced that they are temporarily suspending production due to the COVID-19 situation.
I thought it was forever.
The classic Easter candy will halt production beginning I guess that's today. Today's the 25th, isn't it? I don't even know what day it is.
It is.
And
tomorrow would be opening day.
I know. I was just crazy? Thinking about that.
And it's a beautiful day tomorrow, too.
It's going to be sunny and like 60.
So this company says, we do have inventory. This is going to make people feel better when you're not making Peeps. We have inventory of Mike and Ike, hot tamales, garbage candy, and Goldenberg's peanut chews.
What are you even saying?
I don't even know what they're saying. Anyway.
Of course they have those. Nobody's ever heard of them.
Goldenberg's peanut chews?
I've had those.
You've had Goldenberg's peanut chews?
Yes, I have. My mom liked all those old candies. Red Hots, Mike and Ike's. She loved
Red Hots. Not circus peanuts.
They're not circus. Let me look them up.
You're thinking of circus peanuts.
They're in a wrapper. It's like peanut chews are like, it's like a candy bar that comes in two pieces.
I love circus peanuts are another thing I love. My grandma used to eat those, and I loved those.
People crap all over circus peanuts, but my dad always...
You're thinking of circus peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of circus peanuts. Yeah.
My dad always ate them, and so as a kid, I like them.
They're like bubblegum flavored.
Well, they're supposed to be banana.
Are they banana? Yeah. I don't know what. I like them.
They're gross.
I really like them.
I'm with Pound Cake. They are.
I get why
banana
people like
is
them.
My favorite flavor popsicle. I like banana runts the best.
But you don't like any actual banana.
Because banana flavoring doesn't taste like real banana.
Bill and I have the best appetite on this show.
Appetite? Like
we have really good taste.
Those are two different things.
Don't try and join teams with me now. Okay.
Bill and I have the best appetite.
I'm not trying to make teams here. I'm just stating my preferences, and I'm not a big fan of circus peanuts or peeps.
Don't try to hitch your wagon to his star.
Oh my god, I just wanted some camaraderie, but never mind.
Yeah, and I shut it down. I shut it down real fast.
That's right.
He would like you to know you are on no team.
Mm-hmm.
Just merely a coincidence.
Yes.
Well, damn.
Aaron and I are on team peep, though.
Back to the
peep. We're on team.
You guys can have your gross team. It's all you.
You got to have a nasty snack that you like.
Well, now there's going to be a run on peeps.
Yeah, there
Please
will be.
Please get rid of all of them.
If there hasn't been already.
I'm sure there's lots of things that I like that you don't like. Well, like we were talking about yesterday, the ice cream. I like peanut butter with ice cream. You guys don't like that.
That's not the same.
Like chocolate and peanut butter. my ex-wife loved Good and Plenty's.
Ooh,
and it's like eating the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care for black licorice.
I would never. I don't either.
But a Good and Plenty once in a while, for some reason, I'm like, okay.
No.
Just one.
Okay.
I would never date someone who eats tapioca pudding.
I love tapioca pudding.
We can never date.
What's the matter with... But you don't have to eat it.
I don't.
Do you care if they eat it?
I don't trust nobody that eats tapioca.
Why?
You don't even like tapioca?
It's like a seed or whatever.
You don't like tapioca and smoothies or the boba?
No.
Oh, that's the best.
Well, I don't like the boba either.
Love the boba.
God damn it, I'm on this pound cake team again.
You are.
Now, don't hit your wagon to mine.
Oh.
We're leaving the station.
Not his wagon. Get your own wagon.
I don't mind the tapioca pudding, but I don't like the boba. Like the...
It's chewy and it's... Ugh. Oh, I love it.
Does it pop? I don't think I've ever had it.
No, it's just chewy. And it expands in the water, so they're just like little pellets, and then they put them in.
It's like jelly, but it's like flavorless and it's gross. I don't need it.
Love it.
Like that, so good. It's like Jell-O.
I like tapioca. Like
little Jell-O balls.
Well, they're tougher than that. I mean, a lot of places will like undercook them a little bit, which I like, and they'll be kind of... Mm.
My I think it was my grandma and I would eat tapioca pudding all the time, and my dad would say it was fish eggs. That's what's in there. What's tapioca? It's fish eggs.
Fish eggs, yeah.
Try me.
My mom used to tell me that Fig Newtons were made of grasshopper legs.
But that's because she didn't want you to eat them.
She didn't want us to eat them.
Oh, because they were her favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was her snack, and she's keeping them out of her snack.
Yeah, the little crunch that we tasted was crunched up grasshopper legs.
Yeah.
And tapioca pudding was fish eyes. Yeah.
That's fruit and cake.
You do realize I didn't say circus penis, right?
Yes.
He said that.
All right. I just want to make sure that he knew that.
It's not a cookie. It's fruit and cake. They really had a pretty wild and, like, just expansive ad campaign for Fig Newtons in the 80s.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
They did. They were always advertising them. My grandma always had them. She had those, and she had Lorna Doone cookies.
Oh, I like a Lorna Doone.
Which is a perfect grandma cookie.
Yeah.
We had, our grandma cookie was the wafer cookies, the Neapolitan wafer cookies.
Okay.
Those are real good.
Those
are chocolate,
good,
vanilla, and strawberry. Mm-hmm. Napoleon, as we would call
Neapolitan.
Them. Neapolitan, yeah. Whatever, yeah.
And then there's that tin, like that blue tin that would have all the...
Yeah, butter cookies.
Butter cookies.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they'd come in like the little paper, and you'd root through and find all the good ones. And
do
then
you'd
like, leave all the papers in there, and there'd be like two cookies left in there, and you're like trying to find it. And...
Did you ever have the peanut butter patties that were like, it was peanut butter inside of a cookie, but it was like almost like... paper thin, and when you do, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
They were like little squares.
No,
I don't even know if they make them anymore. They're like really, really thin, almost flavorless wafers, and then there's peanut butter.
Boy,
in
you're
them.
Selling me on them,
dude. They're not. I can't.
These
imagine.
Are almost flavorless.
That's what I'm saying.
Was that in their ad campaign?
Because when you bite into it, it made like a weird, almost styrofoamy sound.
Oh,
but
ew.
Then it had this like really sweet, creamy peanut butter in the middle.
My daughter, my older daughter, loves the candy. You get it in a bag of Giant Eagle, and they're called spaceships. They're basically like it's like if you're Catholic and you know what that host wafer consistency is.
That's what this was.
But it has little. It has little, like, candy pellets inside. And so you eat...
It
like
almost,
this,
like, dissolves.
Okay,
this,
that's
like
about,
this
yeah.
papery outside. Yeah, it's weird.
That's what those peanut butter patties
I'm
are.
I'm like, how the hell did you get on these?
My kids always like the Japanese candy that look like other food.
Yes.
That taste terrible.
I like the little koalas.
But they like the way it would look. So they'd be like, they get these, like, little... hamburger patties and make it all and like
yeah. And gummies?
Yeah.
They weren't even like gummies. They're weird.
You get them at like gross. The Asian market.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. The koala cookies are good with that too. They're like little crackers kind of. Then they're filled with like, you get like green tea flavor or strawberry or chocolate.
Yeah.
The little koala. Oh, God.
Yeah.
These candies.
Listen, for people who like Starburst, and I like Starburst.
Yeah.
Hi-Chews are where it's at.
I didn't have one until
Dude,
I went to Alaska.
Dude, Hi-Chews are legit.
Yeah, Hi-Chews are
so
good.
They taste exactly like the fruit that they're supposed to be.
They gave us Hi-Chews in our goodie bag, but they also gave us weed. So we had like edibles and blunts and all kinds of stuff.
I get it, Hi-Chews.
But I didn't know. I had never heard of a Hi-Chew before, and I had to ask like someone. I was like, I've never had this. Is this an edible? Because I'm not going to start shoving these into my face if I'm going to get high. They're like, no, that's just regular candy.
Yeah, like, growing up, we'd always see it like Japanese or sushi restaurants would always have like a candy case up front by the cash register, and it just like this old Japanese candy. But for some reason, they always had Hi-Chews, and so I would like take one from the bowl or whatever. So when I got old, but I never saw them in stores. Now they're all over the place.
They're wet. They're real wet.
Wet?
They're like mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, come on. Do you know what I mean? Like it's Starburst were juicier.
Right. Well, it's like Starburst claim to be juicy.
These are juicy.
The juice is not loose compared to high chew.
That's true. Yeah.
The juice is not loose.
But then there's the complete other side of the spectrum, now and laters, which I just call them never and nevers, because they're terrible.
I couldn't eat them anymore because they kept pulling out my fillings when I was a little kid.
Wow. You know one candy I could not stand? Gushers.
I love Gushers!
That's not a candy, that's a fruit snack.
I never had, wow.
You've never had a Gusher?
No.
They're not that great.
Those came after when I was a kid. Oh, I was a fruit roll-up kid.
Okay, so fruit roll-ups, but if you put like juice.
No, I know.
No, it's like a fruit snack with a little bit of juice in it. Yeah, I like a Gusher.
God. I didn't like that for some reason. They just didn't sit well.
The problem with Gushers for me is that I would eat the whole box. I'm not going to eat one pouch
of
Gushers.
And you'll get all sweaty? Yeah. Mary, have some respect for yourself.
No.
My mom would have to like hide them because... She'd go like Sam's Club, bring back that giant box, and we would tear through them in an afternoon. And there'd just be like wrappers all over the place, and we'd be like laying on the floor like we went on some binge.
Yeah. My high school sweetheart, he, at his place, his mom always had that big box of Gushers. And what we would do, sweet and salty, is we would spit sunflower seeds and then eat a pack of Gushers.
Oh my God.
That was what we would
do. Psychotic.
That was what we would do. And we would watch The Office. This is when The Office was on TV. So we would watch The Office and spit sunflower seeds into like a water bottle. And then after we're done with our sunflower seeds, we'd eat Gushers.
As opposed to when The Office was only in theaters?
Only in theaters or on Netflix or whatever. Netflix, but
do you ever get the catalog in the mail for Oriental Trading Company? It's a bunch of party favors and candy and weird stuff from overseas that you can get.
No.
I went to their website. I can get a Hi-Chew, like, multi-flavor assorted box. 1,150 pieces for $133.
Okay, so like a good deal? 2 days worth of Hi-Chews.
Right. It's like fruit stripe gum.
Yeah.
You gotta buy a pack for every 5 minutes that you're gonna be chewing gum.
Is that 10 cents a piece?
I don't know.
Get it.
Now, here's my only caveat.
Right now.
It's got zero reviews.
That is...
Check Amazon instead.
That is something that I try to explain to Grandma, because she goes on Amazon and she'll see these things that she likes, but they're like from Chinese companies, and I know it's going to be garbage. I'm like, go to the reviews, and if it is coherent English, then you're onto something. But if it is just like, I like this pillow, it's nice and fun.
Yeah, seriously, broken. Package not come, please give one more week. That kind of stuff. You're like, oh, okay. At least try to fake it. You're on Amazon. Tell anyone.
Get the high cheese. Man, now I want some of those peanut butter. If I find peanut butter patties, that's what I'll bring in tomorrow. I'll bring in Peeps.
Yeah.
And if I can find peanut butter patties.
Because Peeps, like I said before, went the way of Oreos.
I don't even know.
They had one flavor for 100 years, and then all of a sudden they had a different flavor every week.
Aren't they highly flammable?
Peeps?
Peanut butter patties?
No, Peeps because of the sugar coat on the outside.
Yeah. They're just marshmallow and sugar.
If you try and like roast them, they'll just go up into flames.
Why are you roasting a Peep?
Like for a s'more.
Yeah.
Like a fun, glittery s'more.
Yeah.
And then it burns your face off.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, Ron?
Good. Hey, Mary, this is Ron. Still waiting for you at Marble Room.
Oh, hey, Ron.
Hey, those peanut butter things, I know exactly what you're talking about. There was just enough wafer to hold them together.
Yeah.
And they were like little squares. Like, it was like a sheet, and they were almost like little squares of, like, sticking up.
Yeah.
I'll have to look if I can find them. I remember those.
Oh, here they are.
Awesome.
I think they might be called peanut butter wafers. That's what they look like.
Oh, Jesus.
So they're like squares.
Let me see.
And there's peanut butter in them, but it's like a thin, almost paper-like, crunchy.
Yeah, they're like communion hosts.
Kind of.
With peanut butter in them.
Yeah, but they're...
Nutter butter. They're made by Nutter butter.
I'll just have a Nutter butter.
Yeah, but you got a lot of peanut butter in each one. That was the thing.
They're called Nutter butter wafers.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Nutter butter wafers.
I mean, I like a Nutter butter.
So it's just a different wrap.
I like the peanut butter.
When I was real sick a couple weeks ago, and I missed that show, my girlfriend's like, hey, do you need anything? And I asked her to get me Nutter Butters, and she got me Nutty Buddies.
Oh,
and so
I ended up breaking up with her.
Too. Yeah.
But it was definitely like, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Those are two very different things.
Nutty Buddies are the chocolate ones with like the crisscross on them.
Yeah.
They're like big Kit Kats or something.
No, but they actually, have peanut butter.
We still have them.
Peanut butter, yeah, but I mean, they're that wafer chocolate kind of layered
also,
thing.
A good food, but it's not what when you want one thing, when you want get the wrong thing. Butter. You're like, oh man, thin ice.
Was that strike one?
That's why
she got a demerit.
He left the poop in the toilet.
Yeah. And that's why things are even now. Like a cat. You make me upset. I poop on your bed.
Babe, I left you a nutty buddy in the toilet.
Gross.
Yeah, it's in there. Yours for the taking, my doll.
I hate that. Please stop playing it. I'm going to start taking my headphones off like the vomit sound.
Really?
I really don't like it.
It's so explosive. It's so
I do call her my doll.
Yeah. My doll.
My doll. Hello, my doll.
My doll.
My doll. It's a lifesaver.
Probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
Come on, man. I like that lady.
And now I'm ruining the fat and sassy.
She ignored me.
I had too many soups.
Get all fat and sassy.
Sit around.
She probably makes the best soup.
Get all splat and splashy. Yeah, she probably makes great soups.
I feel like the best soup is still like only like half as good as, like, you can make the best soup ever, and I'd still rather have a mediocre hamburger.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not a soup guy.
I just don't think soup is that good.
Like, what about what about a soup that eats like a meal, Bill?
Yeah,
like a chunky soup. I like chili soup. I can. It's fine.
I like soup.
I love soup.
I like soup, but I think that
like when I'm sick, I like soup.
It's not a great food. Like it doesn't.
It's not a meal.
It doesn't stack up against a real food.
Well, it's not a meal. It's a soup. It comes before your meal. It's like a salad.
Yeah, why would you ever get soup like instead of a salad?
I think I actually used to have a bit about this. I said soup is like BDSM without the sex. You're just getting beat up.
No, it is.
It's all build up, no payoff.
Wow. I like a nice broth based soup.
A broth.
Broth based
soup. Like David Lee broth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a side. But like it's not a meal.
It's not a meal. I don't think anybody's gonna argue with you on that. But you eat pho? That's a soup meal.
And I get a sandwich with it.
Okay, that's true.
That's a soup meal.
It's a soup meal. Ramen.
Mm, welcome to soup meal.
To all our men and women in uniform.
I've been a lifelong fan, 20 years in the military, come back, and to find your afternoon show is f***ing horrible.
Thanks. From the Alan Cox Show.
Horrible.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Want to join us live, 35192 to text alancockshow.com. You can watch there. You can check out this week's Alan Cox Show Instagram hotties.
Got some good submissions this week, too.
Oh, yeah. For next week, you mean, or for this week?
Future weeks, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
well, keep them coming.
Next couple weeks.
Yeah. If you listen to the show on iHeartRadio, from points outside of Ohio, tell me where you do that. Joe listens in Knoxville, Tennessee. Miles and Laura are in Charleston, South Carolina. Brendan and Alex are down in Davenport, Florida. John's in Memphis. We haven't heard from Country Chris in a long time. He's in Memphis.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's locked up or something.
really? That's
I don't know.
Maybe he's locked up or something.
Yeah, just busy.
All right. Well, you might be right.
I hope he's not.
Me too. I don't know that you're wrong.
Guy.
Yeah, sure.
He's got in trouble a few times.
Has he?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nothing too serious. I think he just
ran afoul of the law. Is what you're saying. Brad is in Yukon, Oklahoma. Susan is in Niceville, Florida.
I wonder if that was the only part of Florida that wasn't Florida-y. Niceville.
Sucks. And Phil is in Auburn, Alabama. War Eagle! Prince Charles has the coronavirus.
Saw that.
Yeah.
I feel left out. Dude, all these celebrities are getting the coronavirus, and I got nothing. It's like being verified on Instagram.
Right.
Who will be the first celebrity to die from the coronavirus?
Bob Barker.
There's a very famous playwright who you might not be familiar with if you're not into, like, plays, but they said that he was so far the most high-profile person to die from it. And his name escapes me, but he wrote...
Clearly not that high-profile.
Well, he's an older man, but he's been around. He was kind of... who wrote it? Terrence McNally. Mm. He wrote a movie many, many years ago called Love, Valor, Compassion about gay New Yorkers living with HIV. And all, you know, there were a lot of productions like that back in the day.
Rent.
Rent. Yeah, that's right. Terrence McNally was an American playwright and very highly regarded. And he just died. He died at 81 years old of the coronavirus.
So I have a question for you,
Complications of the coronavirus. Yes.
Does this worsen the conspiracy theories about coronavirus, or does this, like, kind of lighten them up? Because if someone, one of the richest families in the world, you know, if, just like they say...
Nothing ever lifts conspiracy theories. People just go further down the hole.
I just imagine if it was the richest, one of the richest families in the world, they have all the resources, and every, you know, doctor in the world can, you know, tend to his aid. Why would he not have a way of not getting this virus if it was possible?
Not get it.
Well, they're thinking that they're... You mean Prince Charles?
Yeah, because
these are people who were constantly meeting large groups of people and shaking their hands and
traveling. Well, I'm saying for the conspiracy theorists, if I'm playing devil's advocate here, wouldn't they think that, oh, well, of course he has to get sick because, you know, then they're going to prove the theory. But if he dies...
What theory?
I feel like you're trying to apply logic to something that has no logic, which is a conspiracy theory.
This is one big hoax or population control.
Right, but conspiracy theories exist because you never have to prove them.
So you can just
keep taking information and throwing it into the well and going, see? Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? See what?
And changing it when things are proven wrong.
They think this is coming from the upper 1%, like the 1% of the 1%. And I'm like, okay, well, the 1% of the 1% got the coronavirus.
No, but people of every stripe are getting the coronavirus. Yeah. I mean,
and what's the point of, like, what's the benefit to the 1%, the 1% of the 1% putting this out there?
Kill off the poor people.
They need the poor people. They make money off the poor people.
They don't want to see them anymore because they're dirty.
They're mostly not seeing them.
Yeah,
they're dirty.
That's why they make it so easy to get rid of them.
And they're losing a ton of money right now.
Prince Charles goes into his palace, his 96-room palace. And
but that doesn't
keep
the coronavirus away from you.
He's still self-isolating.
He's 71. He'd been diagnosed with COVID-19 in a statement this morning. They said he's displayed mild symptoms, but he's in otherwise good health. Again, not everyone who gets this is like on their deathbed, even if they're 71. You know, these doctors have said a lot of people will have this and either feel nothing, but could still pass it to someone else who feels much worse, you know, or you have a couple of symptoms, like it's just a cold to you.
Mm-hmm.
It affects a lot of people in many, many different ways.
But it
can kill you.
Yep. I was seeing all the different types of, like, symptoms you can have, because it's evolving now. It's not just, like, it's had time to fester and people can...
I don't think it's evolving.
Or are we just learning more?
Yeah, I think we're just learning more and we're getting more information about it.
Okay. Well,
I was reading that this is not mutating as it's extraordinarily contagious, but it's not mutating as quickly as they would see in like another virus. So that's a good thing. They're like, it's not becoming other things. Jackson Brown also has the coronavirus, if you know who that is.
Do not.
I don't.
He was a big singer-songwriter in the 70s.
I don't know if he's
still Dr. My Eyes, Running on Empty.
It's probably both how he feels right now.
Probably so, yes.
You got those red eyes right now.
Doctor, my eyes!
Right.
I'm running on empty over here. The fatigue.
Yes. Clyde Jackson Brown is his full name, but I was a big Warren Zevon fan. Still am, but he's passed for many years now, and he was real, real super tight with Jackson Brown. So I was exposed more to Jackson Brown through Warren Zevon. But he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. He's in there, and he probably has been in for a long, long time. And he is 71 years old, and he's got coronavirus. Let me find you some Jackson Brown here, and you'll probably know the song, maybe.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow.
Somebody's baby.
Anyway, huh?
Somebody's baby. That's
because that was in a movie, right?
Yeah.
What was this in? Flashdance? Not Flashdance. No. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah. When she's losing her virginity in the dugout.
Right.
At 14 years old.
Gross. It is gross. Springsteen inducted Jackson Browne into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 04.
Was this like Darnell? He does.
Jesus, what an insult to Jackson Browne, with all due respect. Yeah, I mean. Running on Empty was another big hit, too. Lawyers in Love, remember that one?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I got that.
Got a couple 80s hit.
Lawyers in Love.
Lawyers in Love. Anyway, I've been playing this like the guy's died. He's still alive.
These days.
These Days? Is that another one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, let me see if I
have that's a Rascal Flatts song.
I don't have
actually,
These Days in here.
So.
I feel like Lawyers in Love was a big hit for him early.
Really? Yeah. Play it. I don't even know if I know that one.
It was a top 10 album in 1983. Stayed there for 33 weeks. Wow. I can't keep up with what's been He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's good.
Just, you know, tenor
of his
voice.
Huh?
You don't like 80s stuff?
No. What is it that I don't like?
Because these are back when they used to put, like, full songs in movies. They don't really do that anymore.
I said that when I watched Rocky IV.
Yeah.
I was like, who is putting a 4.5-minute song in the middle of this movie? Like,
yeah. Yeah, anyway, so Jackson Browne has got the COVID-19.
Darona.
Darona.
I stand by Bob Barker. He's going to be the first famous
He's lived through a lot of stuff. I mean, Ed Asner, if you remember who Ed Asner is, he was Lou Grant, and he was in Mary Tyler Moore Show. He was tweeting out or doing one of these PSAs. He's like, please, for the sake of me and William Shatner and Betty White, stay in your house. Carl Reiner, who's still alive. Guy's like 97 years old.
Cher.
Yeah, but I'm talking like old. I mean, Cher's 70-something, but like Shatner's 82. Betty White's 93. I mean, like old Hollywood. By the way, the Rock Hall has rescheduled their induction ceremony for this year to November 7th.
Did they kick out Whitney Houston?
Did not kick out Whitney Houston. You know, with all due respect to the coronavirus, we're going to remove Whitney Houston from this year's induction.
Would never happen. She's an icon.
So May 2nd is when it was supposed to go down. We usually go to this. I don't know if I'm going this year. I would like very much to, provided the world is still around on November the 7th. But they are going to...
That's election.
November the 7th. It's a Saturday night. It's going to be at Public Auditorium. I'm sure there are a lot of people sitting on tickets for this. And so they've rescheduled it for 8 o'clock on November the 7th. And it's the very first year that they will be broadcasting it live on HBO. Usually, in years past, they have chopped it up for HBO. Because that's a long night, boy.
I bet.
The Rock Hall induction, it's like 4 or 5 hours long. And then HBO, a month later, would chop it up and air it in like a 90-minute or two-hour chunk. And so this year, because they have some new deal with HBO, they're going to broadcast it live for the first time. So November the 7th is when it will go down. If you have tickets for it, you don't have to exchange or anything. They obviously know when you show that ticket that says May 2nd. What happened? Hey, man.
This is May 2nd. Get out of here.
Get the hell out of here. I don't care if you are Sissy Houston. Get out of here.
Excuse you.
Isn't that Whitney's aunt?
That's
Sorry, aunt. No, it's her aunt.
Sissy Houston is her mom.
I beg to differ.
Okay. Go ahead, white man.
Sissy Houston.
Oh.
All right.
Excuse me?
I thought it was her... aunt. Okay.
Let's Google
No, Dionne Warwick is her aunt.
Well, I know who Dionne Warwick is.
In relation to Whitney, though.
Oh, why did I think Sissy Houston was her aunt? That is her mom.
Can you step back?
Okay. Well, that's fine. Why? I mean, you know, ain't gonna change my life. I just thought that I had seen her. Her real name's Emily Drinkard.
Mm-hmm.
Who, Sissy?
I'm going to go by Sissy Houston. Yeah, I thought that I had read on multiple occasions that that was her. Here's what I think. I think I read the real thing, and she told Whitney that she was her mom, but she was actually her aunt. Why would that? You know, like when you find out that you're...
the other way around.
You know when you find... Yeah, but the more famous she got, she wanted to make herself... She wanted to ingratiate herself more than just one degree removed.
Confirmation bias.
I actually knew someone in school that was left on someone's porch, and she was raised by the family.
By wolves?
Was it a cat?
Left on a porch?
Mm-hmm.
And they told her that?
Yeah. It turns out that her actual family went to school with us. And so she knew her real family, but like...
What, did they tell her?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we left you on a porch?
Yeah, essentially.
Just a porch?
It was like, I thought it was a rumor. I thought it was a joke all this time. They were like, nah, bruh. Like, she legit is like their sister. I was like,
how do you land on that?
Like in a basket? Like a cartoon? Or
that's what I'm saying, where it's like...
Wait, they have other kids?
Or in a shoebox.
Yeah. Did they Jared this? This is like on Silicon Valley, where this guy that was given up for adoption goes back to meet his real parents. And he finds out he's got an older and younger brother.
I think it was.
And they're like, yeah, we just didn't want to deal with you.
I think it was a baby daddy issue. So I think they did. So it was multiple baby daddies, and this one didn't work
Hood
well.
Twins.
She didn't make the cut.
Yeah, so she got left on someone's porch. But then her actual brother and sister were in the same school system, so they were just like, what's good?
I'm thinking like it's like a prank, or like, hey, should we light the dog poo in a bag on fire? No, dude, leave a baby. Leave a baby. Don't light it on fire. Because leave the baby.
It just didn't make sense. I was like, okay, older sister, dark. Younger sister, dark as hell. And then you, hella light skinned. So I'm like, how did that happen?
Hella light skinned.
She cheated. She had another family.
And yeah, and then once I saw
no secret babies.
Yeah.
Once I saw her actual siblings, I was like, oh, that makes sense. You was on the porch. You was a porch baby.
Porch baby. Is that what you called her?
No, I didn't want to make
porch
fun of that
baby.
Stuff. Now when I went
that's
home,
that's racist.
When I went home or on the bus with my friends kicking it, I was like, porch baby, but I never said it to her face.
Sure, it never got back to her.
You know, it probably did.
Well, she knew she was on a porch. But porch baby.
Her family was the one spreading it around. Like, the kids are so cruel and immature.
Man.
Our school was tiny. My graduating class was 98, so you can't keep secrets like that. If you a porch baby, people going to call you a porch baby.
Right, but she had... She didn't have to tell people. Her actual family told people.
Did
she
go on to great?
Yeah.
Did she go on to be awesome? Like, was she, like, top of her class? And like,
strangely?
I started.
He's told me the story. She designs porches.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Porticos, vestibules, whatever you're looking for.
Wraparounds, whatever you like.
All of it.
Does she do patios?
Doesn't do patios. Hmm. No.
Decks?
No. Nope. Just vestibules and porticos.
Okay. Nature stone?
Maybe a trellis. Here and there. Porch baby. Check it and see. I got left on a porch by me.
Is that a Jackson Brown song?
Yeah. Porch baby.
Yeah, I don't know how they left her. I don't know if she was in a stroller or what, but I thought it was a rumor, but it was actually a true story.
But whose house did they decide to put the porch baby on?
I don't know that deep. I just know the story of one night she was on the porch, family came in. And I think it may have been a family friend, so the families may have known each other, and the family just didn't want her or couldn't take care of her.
They couldn't wait until the people got home? They were like, hey, bring the baby over at 8. We'll be home. They're like, we'll drop it off at 7:30.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a new family in the neighborhood. They thought it was a welcome basket. There was under all the muffins and cakes, there was a baby. Yeah. They're like, God, these are heavy muffins, but so nice of our neighbors to welcome us to the cul-de-sac, and then they took it inside, and as you know, once you have, any of you have ever lived in a neighborhood like that, you know, once you have accepted the customary muffin basket from a neighbor,
can't give it back.
No take backsies.
Yeah, no take backsies. And you have to write them a thank you note, too.
Yes! Oof. Thank you for the muffins. They were Bran.
Is her name Banana Nut?
No. But you know how, like, when we were kids...
They called her Muffin.
We would
that
say,
was her nickname Muffy. Growing up.
We would say our close friends were like, oh, that's my cousin. Like, kids used to do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew what was real and what was not. But then she was like, oh, no, that's our sister. I'm like, that is not your sister. And I was like, oh, that really is your sister.
Hey, Porchy, come over here.
I was like, where was you at on the PTA?
They don't believe me. Porch. A lot of people asking if she designs gazebos. She doesn't, you animals. Respect. porch baby. So you don't know what she's doing now. Like, you don't see her all growed up or anything?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
You don't call her Porchy, do you?
No.
Still?
What's she doing?
I'm not saying, because if I say, people would know.
Stripper?
I'm not going to say.
Is she a stripper? Is she Baker Mayfield?
She's a stripper?
I'm not saying anything. People would know.
Stripper?
They would know.
Yes, they would know.
Oh.
They would know.
Who would know?
People that listen would know.
Everyone who listens would know who she was?
Everybody. It wouldn't be hard to find her.
Really?
Baby porch doo 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 doo.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, it's Porchy.
It's wow, it's really weird because I did,
stripper.
I haven't. No, I like. I,
how would everyone know who the porch lady is?
I talked to her not that long ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she said, "Hey, I don't want everyone in your audience to know. Don't say anything. All right?
I'm not saying that.
Wow."
Relatives that know me would know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, five people that you know would know who you're talking about.
Right around,
not my
town.
Audience.
A small town.
The people you know.
I'm not saying.
The ruffians that you run with would all know. They'd be like, damn, son, she was on a porch.
But it was spread around.
From porch to the pole?
I'm not saying it in malice. I was just saying it for fact that I know somebody that was dropped off on a porch.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if it was like the car just stopped or they just like pushed it out.
Is her job in the entertainment industry?
No.
Talk about ding-dong ditch. You just hear him run away.
That's your baby now.
Yeah.
The car was just coasted. It was just...
No, you're not supposed to light it on fire.
Oh, my God.
Like stomping on the kid. Did they do it at Halloween?
It's called the baby poop. It poop again.
Oh.
Baby porch doo-doo-doo, though, got me. That was bad.
All right, well, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck to Porchy, wherever you are. We love you, right? We hope has she made something of herself?
Yes.
Good.
Good things came of
best.
That.
Best you can hope for, right?
Is she really a Porsche designer?
To overcome adversity like that.
She has parties for couples who want to sleep with other couples. They're swingers. She's a porch swinger. Get it?
You shouldn't just.
No. Okay.
Baby
porch.
Isn't that amazing? I hope you think so.
Or 800-348-1007. Join us live 35192. You can text me for anything. AlanCoxShow.com. If you want to watch the show there, you can do that live. You can listen anywhere on iHeartRadio. This Sunday night, we were playing a little Elton John a little bit earlier. Coincidentally, his birthday today. But Elton John is also hosting the iHeartRadio Living Room Concert for America. This is on Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. And Elton John is going to host, and it's going to be a bunch of performances that people are going to be doing from their homes. So they'll be sending them out in their cell phones or cameras or whatever equipment they've got. Alicia Keys, Backstreet Boys, Billie Eilish, Mariah Carey, Tim McGraw, Billy Joe Armstrong, all of it hosted by Elton John. And I think they're going to be, part of it is a charity event. So Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox, and I think it'll probably air here too. You'll hear stories of local heroes fighting for our health and safety, and organizations like Feeding America and First Responders Children's Foundation helping Americans in need. I also had information from the Greater Cleveland Food Bank, by the way. They're not recruiting volunteers right now because the National Guard is assisting. Of course, they're in need of monetary contributions to make sure they've got enough shelf-stable food. The number to call, the help line, if you need help from the Greater Cleveland Food Bank is 216-738-2067. 216-738-2067. If you need to contact the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. A call from the Alan Cox Show After Hours line.
Alan, it's Caleb in Kent. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm becoming a little concerned. After hearing your daughter multiple times on the radio, it's brought to my attention how not smart my children are, and it's becoming a problem in my household. I'm not really looking for a solution. It just feels better to say it to a bunch of strangers on the radio that my children are struggling. All right, here's the show.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, certainly not the response I was trying to elicit by playing.
Probably don't need to out yourself where you live and stuff, too. That's really funny. She makes me feel dumb.
The law of. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Like, that's a smart kid. That is a very smart kid.
She legitimately schooled. I played the clip the other day. She legitimately schooled me and Gwen on what a mangrove was. Because she saw it and retained it from a cartoon. And so when we were watching a house hunter show, somebody was buying a house in the Bahamas, and the lady goes, and over here, there's a mangrove.
But it's not just that she knew what it was, that she, like, the way she delivers the information is beyond her years, and it's so cute and funny and also a little enraging.
Yeah, well, because I said, you know, a mangrove is one of those things that I'd heard the term before, but I didn't know what it was. And so I said, Gwen and I were like, what is a mangrove? And I instinctively pick up my phone to Google something.
Mm-hmm.
And Nora goes, oh, I know what a mangrove is. And we're like, how do you know what a mangrove is? And it was from a PBS cartoon that she had watched.
A mangrove is trees growing in salt water. It's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
No, God, I gotta give us the... It's so cool, isn't it?
Isn't that amazing? I hope you think so.
Yeah, that was all.
She's got like host qualities. Like, oh, like, yeah. She's talking to a group of small children going, all right.
Yeah.
We got to shut
beam
down what's
up.
Going on.
Hey.
Who's that?
Houston, Texas. I don't know who's calling me from Houston, Texas. I'm sure it's a spam call.
Mine says Houston, potential Texas. Spam.
Yeah,
that's
spam,
a new thing.
Spam alert is what mine says.
Yeah.
Well, for the longest time, I had the spam filter on my phone, but it was blocking people that I didn't. So it was blocking everything. So,
anything that's not saved, it'll block.
Yeah, so then I'm like, well, I don't want that. But I might go back to that. Because the ratio of spam to numbers, if I don't have you in my phone, you're not that important to me in the first place.
Well,
so,
but like people from work or something like that.
Like I said.
Jason texted me the other day. Jason texted me the other day, and I didn't know it was him. He was just like, "Hey, you got a minute?" I was just like, "Who is this?" I literally put who,
new phone,
and
who
big,
is
big ass caps, like, "Who is texting me asking me do I have a minute?" And he's like, "Jason." I was like, "Oh, hi. Yeah, I have a minute. I do have your number saved in my phone."
Actually,
you can tell the attitude in my text message.
Mm-hmm.
You like John Mayer?
I love John Mayer.
John Mayer was poking fun at that Celebrity Imagine video that everybody did. They just got road rash from everybody dragging him on that thing.
So this week, Gal Gadot and a bevy of other celebrities released a rendition of John...
I like bevy. That is an underused word.
Like, hearing his voice, my heart fluttered a little bit. Like, I love him so much.
Gay.
It's unbelievable. It's, yeah, super gay. I'm in love with him.
Why is it gay if she likes that?
I don't know.
It's gay how I'm reacting.
Oh. Did you squirt a little
but
bit?
Do you think you'd actually be in love with him?
I'm telling you, man. Huh?
Do you think you'd actually be in love with him?
I don't know. I don't know his personality.
Yeah. Did you get a little...
But, like, I hear his voice, and, like, my throat, I had to swallow, and I was
really?
Like, oh, yeah.
You, like, popped off a little bit?
I like, come on. You had to ruin it.
Duh.
I, like, shivered a little
Doy.
Bit.
Are
you playing his music now?
Uh-huh. There's a new John Mayer on 100.7 WMMS. Yeah!
Unbelievable.
Your booty is a wonderland.
Mm-hmm. Don't do it again.
Okay, I won't. It's John Mayer.
So this week, Gal Gadot and a bevy of other celebrities released a rendition of John Lennon's Imagine that went far and wide across the internet. I have to come clean about something. They actually asked me to be a part of this, and I totally misunderstood the assignment and thought they wanted me to sing Imagine by Ariana Grande. They were nice enough to send over a cut. Take a look.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
No hell below us,
Me with no makeup, you in the bathtub.
I love him so much.
I don't know that song. It's funny, but, you know.
I heard them playing that, like, the regular cut, the Gal Gadot cut on, like, CNN one morning.
Yeah.
And they were being very serious about it. They're like, oh, this is going all over the internet. It's a very nice thing. And I'm like, no one's going to mention that they're getting made fun of.
Right.
You guys got to mention that they're getting made fun of.
They wanted to be the one outlet that wasn't dragging.
Yeah, and I'm like, someone's got to mention that this was not well received by anyone. And you guys are like, oh, it's a really sweet thing. And man, the voices that some of these celebrities have. Ah, I'm so jealous. I'm like, boy, that's really disappointing.
Really missed the mark.
Yeah.
Bubbles and bubbly, ooh. Imagine all the...
Anyway.
It just goes into the rest of it.
Well, because of what I saw, I was like, what is Kristen Wiig doing in there? Mm-hmm. But then I forgot. She's Cheetah in Wonder Woman.
Yep.
So she's pals with Gal Gadot now. They pushed that movie back, too.
Yeah, they're going to push a lot of stuff.
It was supposed to come out this August. I'm curious why they're pushing that back.
No, I thought it was supposed to come out at the end of May.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe they pushed it to August. Yeah. All right.
What's Mark...
Cuban.
Not Cuban. The guy that was the last one that was singing.
James Marsden.
James Marsden, yeah. That dude can sing.
He's hot, too.
He's one of those guys that, like, I'm surprised he never became, like, a huge movie star because he's such, like, a handsome dude, and he's pretty talented, and he's a funny dude, too.
I think because he got locked into those X-Men movies.
He was in... Am I thinking of the right guy?
I just saw him in Sonic the Hedgehog. I took my daughter to see Sonic, and he was the lead guy in that.
Yeah,
he's in the first season of Westworld. He's a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy, and he's got a great career, but he's just also a guy that like never made it to like full movie star status.
Right. He was in The Notebook back in the day.
He's in Dead to Me.
Enchanted.
Right.
Dead to Me. Mm-hmm. He's in...
He's like, I watched Dead to Me, and I was like, I felt the same
Rock.
Way. I'm like, God, this guy is hot. Like, what is he not doing at the forefront?
Maybe he's
like too expensive. Like he thinks highly of himself. So he's
no,
like,
I don't he's not get taking that expensive vibe. Roles.
No,
maybe he doesn't value himself enough.
Anytime you, here we go.
what's his bias?
Right. No. Anytime you see him on something, he's like real affable and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started though in Saved by the Bell: The New Class.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
But yeah, he was Cyclops, and
yeah.
I don't think that hindered him. I just think he's just one of those guys that never crossed over to be like a leading man.
Okay.
And maybe that's what he wanted the whole time.
Be my leading man.
Yeah!
His net worth is only $8
million. I am desperate for interaction.
You know what? He was in a movie that I thought was kind of underrated. Everybody crapped on it called The Box. Did you ever see The Box?
What's in that box? I never saw it. But that's the one where it's a button if you hit
yes.
the box. Yes. There's good sketches about that.
This guy shows up at the door, and it's probably an old Twilight Zone episode or whatever, but they made this movie called The Box. It's probably about 10 years old now. And it's him and Cameron Diaz, and it's set in the 70s, so everybody's got feathery hair and plaid pants. And a guy shows up at their door with like half a face, and he's got this box. And he tells him what the box is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a button on it. And if you push the button,
somebody dies.
You
get
$1 million, but someone elsewhere in the world that you don't know will die.
I couldn't do it.
And so the question is, could you push this button if someone else dies? And then, of course, things go horribly awry from there.
There's a great sketch where we have this box, and if you press this button, someone dies, and they just hit the button right away. Like, whoa, hey,
you didn't even get all the rules.
It just keeps hitting. It's like, stop hitting the button, you're killing people.
You're like, you don't even want to think about it? Nope. Like,
no.
Would you take the million? Could you hit the button?
And they're like, oh, I get $1 million too? And they just keep hitting it.
No, I don't think so. $1 million if somebody dies?
I wish there were more parameters. Is it a criminal?
But that's why there are no parameters, because it's a difficult choice.
Do you end a life for $1 million?
But I think the premise was it was someone you don't know, but like in the movie, somehow it comes full circle.
I never actually saw it.
But a lot of people crapped on it.
No, I can't. I couldn't do it. Because I'd be afraid. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Here's
$1 million and hit the button immediately.
Can it be somebody I know?
I don't know who that is.
Do I get to pick?
Can I pick?
Y'all coming at me all wrong.
Yeah.
I got a porch, baby.
I got $1 million and I get to choose who dies. I really am the wealthiest man in the world.
He's like, I got it all.
Screw you guys.
I get money and I get to pick. They're like, no. That's not. It's supposed to be a difficult choice. Nope.
I'm hitting it.
Yeah.
I
can't believe you guys really thought that of me correctly, but like you guys thought. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Immediately you just said pound cake would do it. You didn't ask. You just said pound cake would
we
do it.
Knew.
Fine.
We weren't wrong.
You I'm just said we're right. That's called confirmation bias.
But I don't like you guys assuming stuff.
Assuming?
You would wait, you want us to incorrectly assume that you wouldn't push the if we know we're wrong, we're not assuming.
I kind of just want the option.
Oh, okay.
You want the option to do the right thing.
Would you do it?
See.
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah, give me that button. You only got one button? I'm on multiple buttons.
Got two at the
time. Boop, beep, bop, boop, beep, beep, boop. He's playing whack-a-mole over there. Yeah. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. And another million, bitch.
Right. Yeah. Does a bullet, like, do you hear gunshots each time you do it? It'd make me feel more at home.
At home?
I want to hear the evidence. I want to make sure they're dead.
I want to make sure they're dead. There's another million.
Another million.
People are getting rich all over the world.
Sit down now.
Boom! That was like a sexy gunshot.
Help me out. Skinned him.
Ooh!
I was reading that because of everything that's going on. If you are still watching The Walking Dead, and I couldn't tell you one person I know who still is, I bailed on this years ago.
A lot of people did.
But the season 10 finale...
Season 10?
Yeah, season right. 10. Because of everything that's going on, they can't complete the post-production on the season finale.
Oh, really?
So it was supposed to air April 5th, and they're postponing it indefinitely because they can't finish all of the effects and everything. So if you've gone this long with them through season 10, the finale ain't going to happen.
These people can't do it at home?
Do CGI work at home.
They got at-home studios
for
these.
Yeah, but I imagine that if they were able to do that, they would probably do that. I don't know.
There was a side-by-side of The Walking Dead's like promo, and it's like a completely empty road into Atlanta. And then there's another one that says COVID-19, and they look almost identical.
Yeah.
The only difference is there's not a line out of the city, but everything else, they're like, this is what's going on right now. It's pretty crazy.
And a guy on a horse.
Yeah. Lil Nas X.
There was supposed to be a second Walking Dead spinoff, too, which I think was like just the kids grown up or something, and that's been delayed indefinitely, too.
There's going to be a lot of stuff delayed. There's going to be a lot of thrown together like reality shows that they're making out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to need to, like, there's going to be a hole in time where they couldn't create any content, so they're going to be like, I don't know, here's just people in their apartment quarantine. Doing talk shows and interviews.
You're going to be
like
real
that.
Tired of seeing people on webcams this year.
Yeah. But even like if you watch the news, they're doing a lot of webcam stuff.
Right. Kelly and Ryan are like from their home, so it's essentially just a live stream TV show.
Yeah, talk about the Great Equalizer.
Mm-hmm. This season on Co-Ed 19.
Yeah, everything's just YouTube now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like literally there's going to be like Netflix like, here's a kid opening toys because that seems to be... good enough content for the rest of the world.
Oh, they're taking Trevor Noah, you know, a lot of the talk show guys have been kind of trying to replicate their shows in their home or whatever. So David Spade was always doing stuff in the office or whatever. And Stephen Colbert is doing video from his fire pit. Seth Meyers is in his apartment. They're all trying to just replicate what they do because they're still getting paid. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the network was like, you better fire up your phone, bro.
Yeah, do something.
And sit there. But Trevor Noah has been doing a daily show from his apartment. It's called like the Daily Social Distancing Show with Trevor Noah. It's got the graphics. It's got all, it looks really good. Comedy Central said they're going to start airing it.
Yeah.
They're like, we got nothing else.
What else are they going to do?
We got Spade, and we're not doing new episodes of that. So we're going to put Trevor Noah's Instagram feed on Comedy Central.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, Alan.
Remember Nate, our old intern, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
We called him Insubordinate.
He was not here when I was here.
But then we called him Inseminate because he knocked his wife up.
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, well, so you guys are talking about how the CG work can't get done. And that's, like, they have, Cody was asking about it, they have, like, huge, very, very, like, calibrated monitors and really, really extreme. extremely expensive computers that they cannot take home.
Sure.
To be able to do all this work. Like, I mean, I've got a little machine at home that I do, and it barely, like, it chugs along when I do my video work. So I can only imagine trying to get The Walking Dead together.
Yeah. Nate's going to work on The Walking Dead at his house, I think is what he's trying to tell us.
Yeah. You know, and one of the interesting things people are doing to computers with the COVID is they're actually COVID-19 is they're actually using their graphics processors to like put together these missing parts that they're trying to when they're making the formula. They call it like folding, I think.
Okay.
So if you know any nerds out there with their GPUs. If you fix this problem, they can do something to help.
Okay.
And all it costs is a little electricity.
Now light up, nerds! Like Nate said. All right, thank you, Nate.
You're welcome.
All right, man, there you go. Nerd alert! Nerd alert! Nerd alert! Listen, we were talking about famous people who got the COVID. I can't believe I went past Slim Thug. Slim Thug is positive for the coronavirus.
Who's this now?
Slim Thug, Bill.
But who is...
Slim Thug.
Are you like an author or something? Poet?
Slim Thug, attorney at law?
Famous chef?
Chef Slim Thug has come down with the coronavirus. He got the Rona. No, Slim Thug, the king of Houston. Isn't he? Isn't Slim Thug the king of Houston?
I thought that was Paul Wall.
Maybe so. But Slim Thug is self-quarantining.
I got tested for the coronavirus yesterday, and it came back positive. As careful as I've been self-quarantining, staying home, I might have got something to eat or something, or did some stuff like that, simple stuff like that, nothing crazy. Stayed in my truck, had masks, gloves, everything on, and my test came back positive, so... Y'all got to take this stuff serious. Sit home, self-quarantine. Do not come outside. The other day I had a slight fever and a cough. I feel better now. I don't have no fever. You know what I'm saying? Or nothing like that. So I feel like I'm good, but y'all better take it serious. It's real out here. Coronavirus.
Yep. Serious out here.
It's real out here.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns. There's an NBA player, Carl Anthony Towns. His mom has coronavirus, and she's in a coma.
Oh my God.
And it's real. Like he posted a video and it's real sad.
There's a 25-year-old kid I was reading about. They had to put him in a medically induced coma because he got something. So this notion that it's only a matter of time, this notion that like if you're young you can't get it. Some 9-year-old kid died from it, and you know.
Oh,
so it'll get anybody.
There is a kid death from it?
Yeah.
She was already in the coma or
this put her into a coma.
Wow.
Yeah. Boy, wouldn't that have been fortunate? She's already in a coma.
I was like, why'd they test her?
Yeah, why'd they test her? Ooh, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. I'ma chill at the crib cause I'm safe here. I ain't even about to drink me a Corona beer. I'm about to stay at the crib for about a year. And I ain't coming back out until this clear. I done bought me a mask and a lot of gloves, and I still feel like that is not enough. I ain't shaking no hands, I don't wanna hug. Make sure you wash your hands with a lot of love. So if you got that CV, they gon' find you. If you coughing, I ain't trying to be around you. I ain't even trying to stand beside or behind you. I'ma try to help them motherfuckers find you.
I like that he rhymes glove with enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part of G-Mac from Detroit Rock City.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find 4 of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.